Rice points out on the opening Mishnah that Masechet Shabbos has 24 prokim, because in the days of the Tanakh, the practice was that the kallah who would get married would wear 24 tachshitim. And Masechet Shabbos is all about Shabbos, and Shabbos is compared to a kallah. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi chose, he rigged this and he decided to make 24 prokim. These are the 24 tachshitim of Shabbos HaKallah. He could have made 30 prokim, like the Zikin. Well, the Kamal Bab Mitzir Bab Basa, the Gemara says, it's cool in the Zikin Chad of Mitzir Tehi, and it has 30 prokim. Or Masech has, Kalim is like that, it has 30 prokim. It chose to make 24 prokim, like the tachshitim of a Kalim. The Obis Malachas begin on Ein Gimel Amud Aleph, and Taisus raises the question on the first daf, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, how come the Masechta begins, why does the Masechta begin with Daf Ein Gimel? Why does it begin with some of the details of Hoitzor? The Taisus points out on the first daf, Dibra Maskel Poshat, that the Mishnah, the Tana felt that he has to give Chizuk, sort of, to the prohibition of Hoitzor, because from all Alamites of his Malachas, Hoitzor is the Malacha Grua. It's the weakest of all the Malachas. That's why the Tana starts off. Don't forget about Hoitzor. You got to be careful about Hoitzor. And he says, even on Erev Shabbos, Li'etzish, Samukha HaShech, Gzeiris, you have to be medactic about Hoitzor, even though it's a Malacha Grua. We're going to have to discuss that in length. I'm going to learn about the Malachas, and what does it mean, Malachas Nashevis, and what sense is Hoitzor a Malacha Grua? So the Mishnah mentions that there are 39 of his Malachas on Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. There is a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara refers to a psukim in Tanakh that years ago the Talmid HaChachamim used to be known as Sofrim. Why? And Divrei Hayomim? Why did they use such a name? We call Rabbanim, we call Talmid HaChachamim. Why in the days of the Tanakh did they refer to them as Sofrim? So the Babli says, because they counted Shoyi Sofrim Kolois V'yoyis Shabbat Torah. That the Talmid HaChacham years ago counted every single letter in the Sefer Torah. The Gemara there in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph is in the context of the discussion of the Vav of Gochain. The Gemara says they had a tradition that the Vav of Gochain is in the middle of all of the Oisiyas of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara assumes that there is an even number of Oisiyas in the Sefer Torah, not an odd number. And the Gemara proceeds to raise the question whether the Vav of Gochain is the last letter in the first half of the Sefer Torah, or the first letter in the second half of the Sefer Torah. For some reason or another, that's what the Pnei Yeshua discusses. How does the Gemara know that it's not an odd number of letters? The Gemara assumes it's an even number of letters, and the suffix is whether the Vav of Gochain is the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. And then the Gemara says, why don't you take out a Sefer Torah and count? So the Gemara says, we're not bikim b'haseris v'yiseris. Simple reading in the Gemara sounds like our Sefer Torah are probably off. We have a word should have been spelled mole, and it's spelled chosa. Word should really be spelled chosa, and it's spelled mole. So if we'll count the letters in the Sefer Torah, we won't be able to ascertain whether the vav should really be the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half, because our Sefer Torah not meduyim. So that's what all the Mefoshim talk about. So it means all the Sefer Torah apostle. All the Sefer Torah apostle. So how do you ever say a bracha when you're laying kriyas on Torah? You're not supposed to say a bracha. We pass them like the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. There's a Tshuvas HaRambam where the Rambam writes that the practice was all over Spain that they would lay in kriyas on Torah bal peh, not from a kosher sefer Torah. But in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, it doesn't say like that. That's where the Gesem Mishnah quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba, asks that contradiction between the Rambam and the Tshuvas and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. Our practice is that if you have a puzzle of sefer Torah, say you don't lay in kriyas on Torah with brachas. So how do we lay in kriyas HaTorah with brachas if we assume, if the Rama assumes in Shulchan Aruch that we are literally, he takes the Gemara literally, we are not baki b'chaseres v'yiseres, asifrei Torah may be molei chaser, all over the place. All the sifrei Torah should be posel. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests a mahalach that's the generally accepted, the last century, that's accepted mahalach. He points out that in last week's Sedra you have the word Petsua Dako. And it says in the Chumash that there are two traditions where they're spelled with an aleph is spelled with a hey. So half of the Sefer Torah in the world should be posel. It's supposed to be spelled with a hey and spelled with an aleph. The reverse, and then half of the Sefer Torah should be posel. So the Minhas Chinuch suggests that maybe if you misspell a word, it doesn't posel b'dieved unless it's mamish spelled incorrectly. Like, it says the word Petsua Daka, It's not an incorrect spelling whether you spell with an aleph or spell with a. One of them is in accordance with the Masorah. One is not in accordance with the Masorah. But if you would look in the Hebrew dictionary, the word Dako, Tzuah Dako, could be spelled with an aleph or a. Well, let's say the word Aharon. The name Aharon can be spelled Molei Achaser. In the Sefer Torah, in any specific place, there's a Masorah where it's supposed to be spelled with a vav or without a vav. But if you spelled it Molei Achaser improperly, it's not correct in accordance with the Masorah, but you can't say that the Sefer Torah is possible because the word is incorrectly spelled. If you spell Noyach with a Chof instead of a Ches, and you have a final Nun instead of an open Nun, so that's mamish an incorrect spelling. That's in Yiddish. There's a way to spell the name Noyach with seven mistakes. Noyach Mezidin Greist. So if you spell Noyach with a long Nun and a Chof, an open Chof, that's a very three mistake. It's supposed to be a Ches. Instead of a final chaf, you put an open chaf at the end, then you put an avav and a yud and an aleph. No, yeah, you can add up to seven mistakes. So the vav that you put in, that's not correct according to the masor, but it's not an incorrect spelling of the word. But to put in the aleph in the middle, or to put in a chaf instead of a ches, instead of a final note in the beginning, that's mamish incorrect. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests, and that's what the later poskim assume. That if you have that if a word is misspelled, Molei Choseh, but it's not an incorrect spelling according to the dictionary. It's incorrect according to the Masorah. So that doesn't pass a Sefer Torah. So in the context of that Gemara, the Gemara is talking about the Vav of Gochen being in the middle of the Yosias of the Sefer Torah. So that's where the Gemara mentions this, that Loma Nikru Rishonim Sofrim, how come years ago they called the Tamina Chachamim in the days of the Tanakh? They refer to the Tamina Chachamim as Sofrim, because they used to count every yois in the Sefer Torah. So on that Gemara, that's what the Babli says. On that Gemara, Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi and Shkolim a different explanation. Why they called Sofrim Sha'osu Kol HaTorah Kulo Sfurois Sfurois. The Pashtas are talking about different periods. The Gemara sounds like they're talking about Lomo Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. Which Talmid HaChachamim, which generation? In our lifetime, I don't remember that they called Rabbonim Sofrim. I don't remember that. That was centuries ago. So the question is, how many centuries ago? So the Pashup Shat, the Gemara is talking in the days of the Tanakh. In the days of the Tanakh, you have in the Yomim, in the days of the Tanakh, Talmid HaChachamim would refer to a Sofrim. Why? Because then there was a tremendous emphasis on the Torah Shebichtav, and they used to count every letter in the Sefer Torah. Shehoyu Sofrim Kolois VeYosha BaTorah. But then what Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that's up in a later generation. That's Anshe Knesset HaGdolah were like that. That's not really, it doesn't really correspond to the Pasuk in Tanakh. Loma Nikru the Rishalmi in Shkolim, that Tosfos quotes, why were the Talmid Chacham called Sofrim? She'osu Kol HaTorah Kulo Sfuras Sfuras. That's probably the Tkufa of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. That they put together all the Dinim and they said Arba Avos and Zikin and Lamates Avos Malachas, they put a number. Sofrim Milosh and Nispar. Well, also the same as the Babli. So you saw from Kolos V'Yosha B'Torah they were counting, but not they were counting the letters in the Sefer Torah. They were counting up how many dinim there are in connection with any given topic. Like there's a Mishnah in Taurus that says there are 13 halachas in connection with Niblo Seif Tohar. There are other Mishnahs also. Abba Shomer Mehem, Shomer Chinam HaShomer, Shomer Socher, Shoyel, the Seicher. There are many Mishnahs where they add up. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. That and the Yerushalmi gives this as a mashal. Why does the Mishnah say the number 39? Avon Chaser Achas. That's what they did. Shosu Kol HaTorah Kulo Sfuras Sfuras. The Talmid HaChachamim in one generation, probably the time of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, tried to put all of the Torah Shebaal Peh together in such a way that everyone should be able to remember it and to digest it and to organize the material. So that's why the Mishnah gives you the number 39. The Gemara, though, gives a different explanation. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yechanan on the top line, 9 Gimel and Base. Minyan, Alamali, why does the Mishnah give you a number 39 that doesn't say Stam, Shosa Kala Tarakula, Sfuras, Sfuras? That the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah put together all the dinim that they shouldn't be forgotten. If you say there are 39 of his malachas and you'll remember 25 of them, so you'll know that you have to spend a few minutes to try to recall which are the remaining of his malachas. You have to figure out a whole list that has a sum total of 39. So that's not, the Babli doesn't say like that. She also called out Tarakula Sfura Sfura. It gives a local explanation over here. Not like the Rishalmi, that the same reason why it says 39 over here is applies in Abavis Nezikin. The Gemara gives a local reason over here that doesn't apply to Abavis Nezikin. To teach you, the Mishnah tells you that there are 39, to teach you that there's Chiluk Malachas. What does it mean Chiluk Malachas? That if a person violated Chilu Shabbos, B'Shoigig has to bring a Korban Chatos. The Chumash says whoever violates an Aver B'Shoigig, which the nature of the Aver is such that if he would have violated the Aver B'Mezid, it would have been Kores. If he violates such an Aver B'Shoigig, you have to bring a Korban Chatos. So Shabbos is Kores. Shabbos is one of the Dimin HaTorah that has Kores. So if a person Chal Shabbos B'Shoigig, he has to bring a Korban Chatos. So what happens if the person knows that today is Shabbos, but he just didn't know that Ksiva and Hoitzoh are prohibited? So he did both Ksiva and Hoitzoh B'Halom, B'Shoigig. It wasn't the Mezid, it was B'Shoigig, but not that it was Shigig al Shabbos. He knows that today is Shabbos, it was Shigig al Samalochas. He wasn't aware that Hoitzoh is forbidden, he wasn't aware that Ksiva is forbidden. So that's what the Mishnah tells me, that sometimes you have 39 Chatos, even though everything was done, the Hele Mechot, because yesh chiluk malachas l'shabbos, that you have 39 chatos, one for each one of the malachas that he violated. But it's not exactly the way it says in the Yerushalmi. It says just shasa kol ha'tara kula sfura sfura. Really has nothing to do with Arba Avos Nezikin. The Gemara earlier has a discussion, how do you know, on Dafayinam and Aleph, how do you know that there is such a din of Chiluk Melochas L'Shabbos? How do you know that the din is so, that if one is Mechal Shabbos, is Don Shabbos V'Shigigas Melochas, if it's Shigigas Shabbos, let's say his watch stops on Erev Shabbos, he's sitting and writing, right? He keeps on looking at his watch and he sees he has plenty of time. It's still only 6 o'clock. And then he writes another 3 hours and it's still only 6 o'clock. He doesn't realize that it's 6 o'clock 3 hours ago. So it once happened to me. I was saying a shir. I didn't realize this. I kept on looking at my watch and I kept on saying the shir. So in such a case, that's called Shigigas Shabbos. The person didn't realize that it's Shabbos. So if it's Shigigas Shabbos and he does many malachas, then he's only chayv one chatos. But if it's Don Shabbos, he knows that today is Shabbos, but it's Shigigas Malachas. He's not aware of this Malacha, that Malacha, the other Malacha. So then there's a din of Chiluk Malachas. Chayv HaKol Malacha Malacha. So the Gemara asks on Ayin Amin Aleph, how do you know that this is the case? Chiluk Malachas Mi La'olon. Where does it say in Chumash that you can be Chayev 39 Chatois for being Mechal Shabbos, one Shabbos, everything was B'Shoig. So the Tanoim have a Machloikas. So part of the story, you'll take a look on that final manal. Part of the story is we have the pasuk that mentions Lasavaro Eish Bukomash Vasehem Beyoim Hashabbos. It says that it's in Shmos chapter Lamed Hey. Lasavaro Eish Bukomash Vasehem Beyoim Hashabbos. So why was Havara singled out? If you have Lamed Tesavas Malachas, why was Havara singled out as opposed to the other 38 Malachas? What's special about Havara? So one Tana says that Havara lechalak yotzas. The reason why the Torah singles out Havara, if you take a look on Ayin Amanal, that's about 8 lines from the bottom. Havara lelav yotzas dig Rav Yosi Rav Nosson amr lechalak yotzas. Rav Nosson says that the pasuk singles out Havara just as a dugma, just as a moshel, and really the pasuk could have singled out any one of the lamatas malachas. What it means to say is in each and every malacha is going to be chayiv achatos. If you violate all the 39 malachas b'Hel Mechad, you'll be chayv 39 chatos. That's what the pasuk is teaching. And there's nothing unique about Havara. Havara is just a mashal for the other malachas. The first Tana disagrees. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Says no, Havara was singled out because there's something unique about Havara. Havara lelav yotzes. The Chumash wants you to know that there's no kares and there's no misa. If someone is mechal Shabbos b'mezid and he does Havara, if he violates the other 38 malachas, the mezid he'll be chayiv. The mezid the yedin and bahasra he'll be chayiv misa. And if it's the mezid b'li hasra b'li yedin, then he'll be chayiv kares. But on havara, this Tana Rabbi Yosi disagrees and he says not like all the other tanaim that havara is only lalav yotzes. That it's only a lav and there's only malchus. There isn't any misa the mezid and there isn't any kares and the mele there won't be any chayiv chatos. If the person violates B'Shegik, there won't be a Chiyav Chatos. Our Mishnah obviously does not agree with Rabbi Yosi. If you hold like Rabbi Yechanan, the Mishnah says that there are 39 avos malachas, and the Gemara says on the top of Amud Beis, Ayin Gimel Beis Minyan Al Amali, what's the significance of mentioning the number 39? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shemasan Kulam Ha'alamechad Chayva Kalachas V'yachas. So if you hold like Rabbi Yossi that Havara is only Lelav Yotzos, so why is Havara listed here? It should say that there are 38 avos malachas. If the reason for the number is to tell you that Yechayv Chatos Kalachas V'yachas, and Havara Lelav means that there's neither Koris nor Misa. So if there's no Koris, then there isn't going to be Chatos B'shege. So the Gemara Taka says in Pesachim that our Mishnah, the Taisa says in Pesachim, at the beginning of Pesachim, that our Mishnah obviously is the Loike Rabbi Yossi. The fact that the Mishnah mentions 39 of us Malachas against Rabbi Yossi. Okay, no big problem. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. We pass like Rabbi Nosson, that Havara has Koris and it has Misa, Mimela has a Chatos B'shege also. So the Gemara and Ayin Amid Aleph has this Machlokes Satanayim. They all agree that there is a din of Chiluk Malachas for the Shabbos. They just argue, what's the marker? Is it learned out from the Pasuk of Havara, Havara Lechalik Yotzos? Or is it learned out from some other marker, from some other Pasuk in the Chumash? So the Gemara there, in the middle of that discussion, how do you know that there's a din of Chiluk Malachas? The Gemara mentions, and how do you know that there are 39 of us Malachas? So one time, says he knows it based on a gematria. It says there in Parshas Vayakel in Shmos chapter Laman Hey Vayakel Moshe is called as Bnei Yisrael. Vayom Alehem Eila Hadvar Meshidib Hashem of Bnei Yisrael, and he proceeds to talk about Hilchas Shabbos. So one Tana says that Eila the gematria Aleph Lamed Hey. Eila the gematria is 36, and Dvarim is plural. Samir Drabim Shnayim. Is two, but now that it says Hadvarim, the Hey idea adds on another Malacha, so you have a sum total of 39 Malachas. Eila B'Gematria is 36, and if it would have been written Dvarim, it would have meant two Malachas, but now that it says Hadvarim, so Dvarim, Hadvarim, Eila Hadvarim, Eila Shloshim Etesh Malach, Shanem Elamoshim B'Sina. That's what one Tana says, that we learn out that there are 39 of us Malachas from this Gematria. Rav Nosson Omer, yeah. What do you mean you learn out from the Gematria? The Teishu points out, you learn out from a gematria. The Mishnah says in Chagigas, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos also, the gematria is parpera, it's lachachma. It means that a gematria is not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaStem. You can never learn out any halachas from a gematria. So how does he establish based on this gematria that there are lametes avos malachas? You have to say, it's only an asmachta. No one disagrees, no one learns that, no one ever learns that any halachas from any gematria. The Gemara says in one place in Nazir, how do you know Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom? If a person says Harini Nazir, the person can say Harini Nazir for the next 10 years, Harini Nazir for the next 5 months, as long as you want. But you can't be a Nazir for less than 30 days. If a person says Harini Nazir Yom Echod, Ein Nazir is Plusim Lamed Yom. So the Gemara says, how do you know it that Ein Nazir is Plusim Lamed Yom? The Gemara has a Machlokes in the first Perek in Nazir. So one Amar and the Gemara says we learn it out from the gematria that it says on in Parshas Naso regarding the Nazir Kodesh Yiyah Gadol Teres Arosha. Shalom Aleichem. Come in. This is Rabbi Moshe Einstatter, an acquaintance of ours for many, many years. His parents, Saleh and Hashem, used to live in my building, and he comes every year with a unique stock arrangement.
Many of you know me from previous years. We've come twice to Yitzhak Chanan, before Purim and before Yom Noroim. We distribute money to approximately 450 families in Eretz Yisrael along the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, and it cuts across all communities. And these are poverty-stricken people, and most of them don't have food to eat for Yom Tov. The reason I'm involved in this stocker, as I said in previous, is twofold. One, it's a stocker that's accountable. We verify the needs of the families from time to time, and we give larger stipends for those who are greater need, smaller ones, smaller families, and that varies from time to time. And then, there's no overhead. Every single cent you give goes to them. Everyone who does so b'shem Shemayim. There are different gizborim in different parts of Eretz Israel to make sure that the money gets there. And as I said, most of the money that we get comes from Yisrael Chonin's alumni. The alumni send thousands of dollars for this because it's an honest tzedaka and a reveal. The money goes to where it's supposed to be. Rabbi Shachter usually calls me up Tanis Esther, Mosoi Tanis Esther. We don't have a formal arrangement, but anything, any commitment that's given to him between Yom Kippur before Sukkot, we have an account in Eretz Yisrael, we'll lay it out, we'll honor it. So if you have friends, family who want to give, as long as you get either money or commitment to me or to Rabbi Shachter, we'll lay out the money. A check can be made out to my shul's charity fund for tax purposes as congregation Torah Tefillah. Before Yom Narayim, you want to give tzedakah, it's the real tzedakah, the poverty-stricken people. I could tell you a story that you wouldn't believe. Years ago, I asked one of these brothers, I'd like to see a couple of the homes. So he showed me a couple of the homes. After two homes, I had enough and enough to see anymore. They're really poor people, the honest people. Some work as hard as they can, others are unable to do so. You want to have a zechus, this is a real zechus. So, gentlemen, do what you can now, and please let others know. They're so minded, call me a Rabbi Shachter.
You did mention there's no secretaries that take any salaries here. There's no overhead. Every penny that you give goes to the enemy.
Okay.
Yes, the mitzvahs, see that same as
that. So the Bnei Yishuv points out on Daf Ayinom and Aleph that he doesn't think that that Tana really means that he learns it out from a gematria. That's against the klal. The gematrios paparos lachochma. There are no alochas that are learned out from any gematrios. The only alocha that the Gemara sounds like it says is being derived from the gematrios that stam nazir shloshim yom. There also the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis Anozir on Daf Hey Anozir that that's really halacha Moshe Mishina. It's also not really learned that from the Gematria. The Gematria is only a remes. There also you have to assume like that. This Dvarim HaDvarim Eladvarim is just a remes. That's not really how we know. How do we establish which are the Ovis Malachas? What does it mean Ovis Malachas? The Gemara, like the Gemara has in the first Daf in Bava Kamma. Ovis Machlal Dika told us. It means that there are 39 headings of categories. And each category has many toldos. In fact, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were once learning the topic of Avos Malachas, and they worked out a cheshbon that every Av Malacha can have 39 toldos. You can have 139, have 3900 toldos. But that was their shtick. That they worked out 39 toldos for each one of the 39 toldos. Okay. So how did you decide what's an Av and what's a toldos? So the Gemara says in the first Av in Bava Kamma, whatever was in the Mishkan is called an Av. Places there has on Bava Kamma, the first Daf places has two Girsois in the Gemara, where it says Hachta Havi B'Mishkan Kamma Chashiva. Whatever was in the Mishkan is important, so that's labeled as an Av. Hachta Loi Havi B'Mishkan Loi Chashiva. Whatever was not in the Mishkan is not Chashuv. The correlate told them. Is that the pshat? Is that the reading? Or is the reading? No, you have to have two conditions. Achtadi, the Mishkan Hashiva means whatever was a Hashiva activity in the Asiyas HaMishkan is called an Av. Hachtaloi Havi Mishkan Hashiva, not Hachtaloi Havi Mishkan Kama, Loi Hashiva Kama, the correlate told. Not that anything that was in the Mishkan is automatically an Av. Anything that was not in the Mishkan is Memela, not Hashiva, and therefore it's not an Av. No, it has to have two qualifications. Has to have been in the Mishkan, and has to be a chashiv activity in the Mishkan. Hachtabi b'mishkan chashiva is the two qualifications. Korelia. Hachtaloi habi b'mishkan chashiva. Whatever was not a chashiv or malacha in the Mishkan means either it didn't exist in the Mishkan, or even if it was in the Mishkan, but it wasn't so chashiv in the Mishkan. That's going to be in the Hemshech HaGemara. It sounds like that in our daf. We're going to soon see the Gemara on daf Ayinay. So the Pashup Shad is like that you need two conditions in order to qualify as an af. It's interesting, on daf Ayin, the Gemara also has a discussion, daf Ayin and Aleph, how do you know that there's an institution of toldus? So the Gemara has to learn about from Sukkim, the last few lines on Ayin and Aleph. You also meyachas mehenos on the top line of Ayin and Beis. It says heino obis mehena tolodus. You need exeris hakosu to teach you the toldus same kayotzebem, that the toldus have the same din as the obis. There in the beginning of Bava Kamma, there is no exeris hakosu to indicate that toldus same kayotzebem. The Gemara seems to assume it's a mamatzinu. It says what's the definition of an av over there? How do you know what's called an av in Bava Kamma? So Rashi writes on the opening Mishnah. Abavus and Zikin, Ovis Karlahanach, Bechsivim Behed Yibikro. Shor Bor, Mabe Hever, are explicit in the Chumash, in Parshas Mishpot. That says black and white in Chumash. Whatever says in Chumash is an Av by Nizikin. Whatever doesn't say in Chumash, but it has the same properties as the case that's described in the Chumash. So that's called the Tolda. So take, for example, if you have Avna Sakinim Asor Shein Nichim Bishus HaRabim, and someone tripped on the Avna Sakinim Asor, Vehuzak Bohem. So that's a tolda because there's no such description in the Chumash of leaving Amna Sakinim Asor B'shus HaRabim. If you dig a bar B'shus HaRabim, that's mentioned in the Chumash. So that's called an Av. Whatever is in the Chumash is called an Av. Whatever is not in the Chumash is not called an Av. That's how Rashi points out on the first Mishnah in Bava Kamma. Then the Gemara has two brises there. The brisa, one brisa says there are not Arba Avos Nezikin, in a certain sense there are 13 Avos Nezikin. Next time it says no, in a certain sense there are 24 Avos Nezikin. The Gemara says, how come the Tana and the Mishnah didn't list off all of those Nezikin that the Tana and the Braisa listed off? It's a big difference between 4 and 24. So how come the Tana and the Mishnah says there are only Abav's Nezikin, the Braisa has 24 Choftal Abav's Nezikin? The Gemara says, well, some of them are only Midirabonim. So that's why the Tana and the Mishnah didn't mention. Mishnah is only listing off Abav's Nezikin that are Deraisa. So the Gemara asked the question, wait a minute, but the whole definition of Abav's is whatever it says in Chumash. That's how Rashi wrote in the first comment on Bava Kamma. Whatever is not in Chumash is not called enough. So how can the Tana and the Braisa say that there are 24 of us in Zikin if some of them are only Midirabonim? So there's certainly no Pasuk for them. So Gemara says, you're right. Once you get to that Braisa, to that Tosefta, that Tani Raboshia, there are Chof Dalet of us in Zikin. So you're using Ovis in a different sense. You're not using Ovis in the sense whatever says in Chumash. Half of them are the Rabbanim, so they don't say in the Chumash. Using Ovis, why are they called Ovis? Kulam ka Ovis, Lishalami Meitav. That's how the Gemara says. You use Ovis in a different sense. And in the original version that it says in the Mishnah, the Arba Ovis Nezikin, that's the older version, that's probably from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the same people who composed the Loshon over here, the Lametes Ovis Malachas. So at that time they were using the term Ovis in the sense whatever says in Chumash is Ovis. Whatever doesn't say in Chumash is not called Ovis. But in the later generations, when Rabbi Shia added on more, and he writes up that there are 24 Ovis Nezikin, so he's using Ovis with a different meaning. Ovis means whatever pays from Eta. Oops, everybody pays from Eta, so they're all called Ovis. So there the Shittim Kubetzes on the first daf in Bava Kamma raises this issue. How come it says in the Chumash Shor Bor Maven Hever. It doesn't say Avne Sakinim Asar Shein Nichem B'Shus Harabim V'Huzku Bohem. And it doesn't have about Avne Sakinim Asar Shein Nichem B'Rosh Gagav and Ofel B'Ruch Mitzuyah V'Hiziku Derech Nefilosim that's a told Avesh. It doesn't say all these in the Chumash. So how do you know that you're Chayv on the Tolda? So the answer is Tolda Senka Yetzah Behem is Amam Atzinu. We have all the various Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. So the most famous Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben, which is, doesn't appear in the Brice and Rebbe Shmuel, is Mamatzinu, just like it says this in the Chumash, Mamatzinu, that the Torah is Mechayiv Bor. What are the properties of a Bor? Tchilos Asiyos El Nezek, Obamon Chashmiros and Alecha. So too, the Toldos have the same properties of the Av, and therefore Toldos Ein Kayetzibahem. So we know, based on the Midah of Mamatzinu, that Toldos Ein Kayetzibahem. Over here, by Shabbos, the Gemara requires a pasuk to say that there's an institution of toldos. So why didn't they just say, well, the malachas depend on whatever was in the Mishkan. Hachtav is Mishkan Hashiva, Koraleyav. And whatever was in the Mishkan is a mamatzinu, that whatever is similar to what was in the Mishkan is also going to be a malacha. So why do you have to have a Gzeres HaKosuv to allow us to establish a principle of toldos? Heina Ovis Mehena Talodos, that's the top line on Ayinam Beis. That's where the Shit Mukubetz exists. And the first daf in Bava Kama. So he gives a suggestion that's interesting, that since Hilcha Shabbos is derived from the Mishkan, that's the pasuk in the beginning of Vayakel, that Moshe Rabbeinu commands Bnei Yisrael that they have to build the Mishkan, but not on Shabbos. The binyan on Mishkan is very important, but there's a hierarchy of there are a lot of things, 613 things that are important. So there's a hierarchy of which is more important than which, and which is derech which whenever there's a conflict. So the hierarchy requires that you're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to do Asiyas HaMishkan. So this is how we've established what constitutes a Malacha. Whatever was involved in the Mishkan, Achtav Mishkan Hashiv, Koraleyav, constitutes an Av Malacha. So the Shittim Kubetzis makes this suggestion, that since all of Hilcha Shabbos are established based on Mishkan, Dumi the Mishkan, and the Asiyas HaMishkan is described as Malachas Masheva, it's the pasuk Malachas Masheva, which is quoted so many times in the Gemara in connection with Malachas Shabbos, doesn't really say regarding Shabbos. It only appears in the Chumashim with regards to the Asiyas HaMishkan, that those who were involved in Asiyas HaMishkan did everything in a fashion of Malachas Masheva. But we've established all of Hilcha Shabbos are patterned after Asiyas HaMishkan. So that's how we know that Malachas Masheva applies to Hilcha Shabbos as well. That's how the Gemara says in the first paragraph in Chagiga, that this concept of Malach Mashav is so important in Hilcha Shabbos, and it doesn't even say it in Hilcha Shabbos, it says it only by the Mishkan. That's what the Gemara says, like Harorim Hatluyim Bisaira. You have one word in the Chumash, and based on one word, we learn out halachas from one place to the other. The original Malach Mashav is says by the Mishkan, and we extend from the Mishkan to Hilcha Shabbos. So the Shin Mekubetze says that since so much emphasis is placed on Asiyas HaMishkan, in establishing what are the dinim of Hilcha Shabbos, so one might have thought that whatever wasn't in the Mishkan couldn't possibly qualify to be a malacha, even though it's really a mamatzinu. How can it even be considered a tolda? So we would have mitzad asvar, we would have thought that there are no toldas on Shabbos, because everything is based on the Mishkan. These pulas were not in existence in the Mishkan, so they shouldn't be considered malachas. By nizikin, obvious nizikin, that's a regular, normal din of a mamatzinu. Sure. The pasuk describes Shor, Bor, Mava, and Hever. So Mamatzinu will apply to all of the toldos of Shor and all the toldos of Bor, etc. But to say Mitzar Asvara Mamatzinu over here in Hilcha Shabbos, that doesn't make any sense, because the toldos were not in the Mishkan. So that's why I require a pasuk to tell me that told the same Kayotze Behem, that there is an institution of toldos even in Hilcha Shabbos. You do have a right to establish toldos for Hilcha Shabbos. The Marsham had a famous chiddush which was debated. That's when they started using electric bulbs during his lifetime. So he discussed in a tshuva whether using electric bulbs constitutes a malocha of havarim and atarim in the Rabbanon. The Rambam quotes in the Tosefta that if you heat up metal till it glows, usually heat metal a little bit. Let's say you put a pot on the fire, the pot is not going to start glowing, so the fire is not hot enough. If the pot will be empty, it may start to burn. Okay, then the metal may start to glow. But the pot has food in it, so it's not going to, the metal is not going to start glowing. So the Rambam quotes Tosefta that if you heat metal till it glows, so that's a malacha of Havar. So the shaila is, what if I heat the metal by a flow of electricity? The Maaseh, that's what it is, that the filament is glowing because he made it hot. So the Marsham has a tshuva where he came up with an einfal, an original chiddush. Marsham is usually makel on everything. Everybody knows Marsham is makel. So the Marsham came up with a chiddush that he thinks that using an electrical bulb can't be more than a malacha derabbanan. He thinks that for sure it's not an issa deraisa. He says, because basically, in order to qualify as a malacha, it has to be in the Mishkan, because everything, Hilcha Shabbos, is based on the Mishkan. But whatever was not in the Mishkan, but but has the same properties as Dav Malacha, is considered as if it's represented by those pulas that were in the Mishkan. But whatever didn't even exist in the days of the Mishkan, they didn't have an electrical bolt. That's what he assumes. So since he assumes they didn't have any electrical bulbs in the days of the Mishkan, so he comes up with a chiddush that it can't possibly be a nisa derais. That's the Marsham's chiddush. Rav Chaim Eiser didn't agree. Before the Second World War, there was one of the rabbanim in Switzerland put out his Shadus Tshuvas. I think Chelkas Yaakov by Rabbi Breisch, a prominent Talmud Chacham, passed away already many years ago. So in the beginning of this sefer, he has haskamas that different rabbanim gave him haskamas on the sefer. So he asked Rabbi Yisrael Zalman to give him haskamah on the sefer. So he wrote that he can't give a haskamah. He says, when I used to be a rabbi in Europe, so I had a paskin shaila, so that I was in the field of shailas of tshuvas. So then, if you would have asked me then, so it would have been shy to give haskamah. But he already moved from Europe. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And he was the head of the Yeshiva Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim, so he says he's no more a rabbi. He's in a different field of learning now, so he can't give haskam on the sefer. So a little humorous. He probably didn't like it, I imagine. It's a different style. It's not Rabbi Zalman's style. It doesn't go with his style of analysis. It's a Galatiana style of Shas Chubut. That's fine. So he says, but you should know, so I can't give a haskam, but you should know that one thing that you have in the sefer is not muskan. He has a tshuva. Is it permissible to turn on electric lights on yontifs? When it first came out, so it was a big issue. Were they allowed to turn on lights? So in the Marsham, in this Chelkas Yaakov, Rabbi Breisch is safer. He suggests the possibility to be mekel about turning on lights on yontifs. So part of his one sad lahakel is that the Marsham says that to begin with, it's only nisa derabbanan to turn on an electric bulb even on Shabbos, only derabbanan. So the electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan. Whatever didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan can't be more than a nisa derabbanan, because in order to qualify as a malacha, it has to have either been actually in the Mishkan or be represented by what was in the Mishkan. How can you say it's represented if it didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan? So that's what the Rabbi Breisch is mitzarif this Marsham Svara to say, well, turning on bulbs to begin with is only the Rabbanon. So then he says maybe there's room to be mekel about turning on bulbs on Yontif. So that's where Rabbi Shazam sent him a letter which he printed together with all the Haskamas at the beginning of the Sefer. The letter that was a non-Haskamah. So he writes, you should know Rabbi Chaim Moshe said he doesn't agree with the Marsham. He thinks that turning on bulbs on Shabbos would constitute an Issa Derech. Okay. We'll have to learn deeper into the Gemara. We're going to find out, does something become a tolda automatically? If it's similar to the Yav, it becomes a tolda automatically? Or do you say no? With the power vested in their rabbis as the transmitters of the Torah Shebaal Peh, they have the right to establish a certain pu'ula as a tolda. But do you say, what do you have to have power for? A tolda, if it's sufficiently similar to the Yav, it becomes a tolda automatically. That's a discussion you're going to have to see. There's a famous thesis on Tzadikeyum and Aleph. And when we learn that thesis, we'll have to see. There is an etziv on that. So he has an interesting einfall. He thinks that the Chachamim have to declare things as toldas. You have to pass from that as a tolda. Nothing becomes a tolda automatically. We'll have to see about that. But our Mishnah is assuming that there are 39 Ovis Malochas. The reason why they told Ovis is because Ovis Machlaldika told us. Yeah, by the Christians is not so. No, that's how they say the joke. One of the Christians called the other fellow Father Flanagan. And then, oh, excuse me, how can it be a father? He has children. They're not supposed to be married. It's by certain sects of the Christians. The Galochim are not supposed to be married. My next door neighbor in the mountains always calls me Father Shester. She thinks I'm a galah. But we assume that they only call the father if you have children. Ovis Machlaldika told us, and we assume told the same Kayachimem, so the told us have the same dinim as the others. They're all governed with all the rules and regulations of Malachas Machshavis and so on. Fine, so we assume there are 39 Ovis Malachas. We don't really assume that it's based on a gematria. The gematrias are just parperois lachachma. We assume that they looked into the Mishkan and they saw that there were 39 activities that were chashuvos, Whatever was a chashiva activity in the Asiyas HaMishkan is called an av. The Egel Tal has a famous, if you have some time you should take a look, has a famous piece in the Hakdomis to his Sefer Egel Tal on Malach HaShabbos. So he points out that there's a machlokus in Rishonim over here where the Hachtahavi B'Mishkan Chashiva Go'onim and Rishonim Hachtahavi B'Mishkan Chashiva that the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, the first daf, does that mean what was involved in Asiyas HaMishkan in building the Mishkan or even in Hakrovas HaKrabonis in the Mishkan? So the Pashup Shat is it goes only on Asiyas HaMishkan, not in Hakrovas HaKrabonis, but yes, there are some Go'onim and some Rishonim we'll say even whatever was involved in the Hakrovas HaKrabonis and the Mishkan as well. Okay, so we'll get to that later. We'll learn the Mesista later. We'll get to that. With respect to what aspect of the Mishkan are you learning out from? There is, we mentioned this Gemara and Afayin, but the Gemara has the Machlokes Satanoim. What is the source in the Chumash? What is the Mokar in the Chumash for the din of Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos? The one Tana says we learn it out. Rav Nosson says Havara Lechalik Yotzos. The other Tana says no, Havara Lelav Yotzos. And Lechalik Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos is based on a different pasuk and different suggestions in the Tanoim. What is the other pasuk? So here there's this topic of Havara Lelav Yotzos. Here it says on the side it appears in Sochem Daf Heim and Beis. Alludes to this machlokes satanai, whether havor lelav yotzos, havor lechalik yotzos. What's the pashup shad? Havor lelav yotzos, according to that tana, means that there's no koris and there's no misa. There's only malchus, you're only over alav. So Tosfos from Sochem and Daf Heim and Beis has two opinions within that sheet. We have not the paskin like this tana, so the whole issue is irrelevant, halacha lemaisa. But according to that first tana, divrei Rabbi Yosi, that havor lelav yotzos, that there's no kores and there's no mises bezin the mezid, so does that mean that there are only 38 malachas? Because malacha by definition means that you have kores and you have misa. So 38 malachas with another isa added on, like we have tchumen. Even according to the Tan who thinks that tchumen is their isa, but tchumen is not a malacha. An isa tchumen. It's an isa tchumen. So no one, even according to Rabbi Kiva, doesn't say that tchumen is an isa malacha. There are 39 malachas plus an isa tchumen. So should I say, according to Rabbi Yosi, there are 38 malachas plus an isa tchumen and an isa havara? It's a separate isa. Or should I say, no, havara is a malacha. There are 39 malachas. Havara is a malacha like the other 38. It's just like there is hakosu that on this malacha there's no kores and there's no misas bezin. The mind of kamina, the Tosfos there has two opinions. What about on yontif? One opinion of Tosfos is that you only carry over those halachas from Hilchos Shabbos to Yontif with respect to malachas. Whatever is not a matter of malachas, let's say tchumen. So there is a machlokes. So the Ramah happens to paskin and Shulchan Aruch Ashkenazim that all of tchumen is only the Rabban. So there's nothing to discuss. By calling the Mechaber paskins like the Rif and the Rambam, that sometimes tchumen is their eyes. Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Kiva, is of the opinion that tchumen Alpai Mamo is their rice. Alpai Mamo is 1 mil. The Tchumen Alpai Mamo is their rice. He learns it up in the Pasuk that it says, Amadosim Yichutz Luir, Alpai Mamo, around the Ori Halavim, you should measure 2,000 Amos. So it says in the Chumash what it's for. For Soda and for Migrash, it says what the Alpai Mamo represents. But Rabbi Kiva sees from that Pasuk that there's, that's a definition of the ear. And if you go Michutz Latchum of the ear, then it's an Isa Deraisa. Al Yetz Ishmim Komo is an Isa Deraisa that you're not allowed to go Chutz Latchum. So the Gemara says we don't pass on like Rabbi Kiva, that's out of the question. You have so many kulas in Hilchas Tchumen, all on the assumption that Tchumen of Alpai Mam is only the Rabbanon. So the Rif and the Ramam quote are Yerushalmi, that even though Tchumen Alpai Mam is 1 mil, even though 1 mil is only the Rabbanon, but if you go Yud Beis Mil, that'll already be their ice. Yerushalmi writes that's questionable, that may be their ice. The Ramam maps all of a sudden from the Sufik of the Yerushalmi became a Vadai. But the Rambam counts it in the Minyan Mitzvahs. The Rambam lists off which are the 613 Mitzvahs. He says on Shabbos, if you look in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he says, there's an Isa not to do Malacha on Shabbos, then there's a Mitzvah to recite Kiddush on Shabbos, a separate Mitzvah, then there's another Isa not to go Chutz L'Tchum. So that's an Isa Deraisa. It's not Tchumen of Alpai Mama, that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Tchumen of Yud Beis Mil. Alpai Mama is 1 mil, but if you go Yud Beis Mil, Chutz L'Mekomo, Then the Rambam paskens that that's deraisa, and you have to be machmer accordingly. Whatever kulis the Gemara has, based on the assumption that the tchumen is lav deraisa, so if you have a tchumen that will be deraisa, so all the kulis don't apply. So the shaila is, according to the Rambam, or let's say according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that tchumen is deraisa, would you say that tchumen on Yom Tov is also deraisa? Would you restrict it only to Shabbos? Because the original pasuk val yetzis min komo only says on Shabbos; it doesn't say on Yom Tov. So that's a famous machlokes of Rishonim. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says, as well as in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam only has tchumen being deraisa on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and even on Yom Kippur. The Rambam's opinion is that tchumen is only the Rabban. And Tosfos b'kama mekaynes b'shas disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos always writes that according to Rabbi Akiva, that tchumen is an issa deraisa, it applies to Yom Tov as well. There was a Chacham Rav Daniel HaBavli, who was a dying in Baghdad. He lived after the Rambam passed away. So he used to correspond with Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam. They have a whole sefer, Mais and Nisim. The guy who put up the money in Paris to pay for the book was Mr. Nisim. So they called the book Mais and Nisim. That's what it says on the first page. Remember, Al Soloveitchik used to say, he looked in the Mais and Nisim many times, he never saw any Nisim in the floor, so he doesn't know why they called it Mais and Nisim. It says on the first page why. The one who paid for the publication was Mr. Nisim in the 1800s, I guess. Nice, follow us. So the so this Mais and Nisim, this sefer, has the correspondence between Rabbi Daniel HaBavli, the dying from Baghdad, and Rabbi Avraham ben Aram. So this is one of the issues that he picked on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam write that Tchumen on Yom Tov is the Rabbanon? All right, he'll understand that already. But even on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is mamsh the same as Shabbos. How can he assume that Tchumen on Yom Kippur is only the Rabbanon? So the Rambam holds Tchumen is only a pasuk by Shabbos, and you can't even extend it to Yom Kippur, let alone to Yom Tov. And Tosfos Shita is not so. You can even extend Tchumen to Yom Tov. So there's clearly a machlokes harishonim. If you have a din that's written in connection with Shabbos, do all the dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov? Or do you say no? Only the definition of a malacha. It says on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do ka malacha savoyda lo sasu. So the definition of malacha is carry over. But the other additional dinim don't necessarily carry over. Take, for example, Kiddush. The original pasuk for Kiddush is in the Aseret Hadibah, Zacharos Yom Shabbos Lekatsho. So the Tanoim had a tradition that the word Zachor doesn't only mean to remember, it means Lahazakir, to mention. You should mention Kedushas HaShabbos by reciting Kiddush. So the original pasuk of Kiddush Deraisa only says by Shabbos. What about on Yom Tov? Is the obligation to recite Kiddush on Yom Tov? Is that, we say Kiddush on Yom Tov. Is that Deraisa or Derabbanan? So that's a machlok, is the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah. Rambam writes, seems to write explicitly that Kiddush on Yom Tov is the same as on Shabbos. He had the Hilchos Shabbos. He says that Yom Tov also is Shabbos Hashem, Kulam Shabbos Hashem Heimah, and Kiddush recited on Kiddush on Yom Tov is also deraisa. And the Magen Mishnah says that not everybody agrees with the Rambam. There is some Rishonim who feel that Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabban. So this is really this issue: how much of Hilchos Shabbos do you carry over to Yom Tov? I already gave us steer in the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Kiddush does carry over and Tchumen does not carry over. So how did he have the Roch HaKodesh to know? Okay, so you have to kvetch asvar. You have to figure out what. They're both not malacha. Tchumen is not a malacha, and Kiddush is not a malacha. And Kiddush, he does carry over. Or the pasuk kibud v'yonig. The pasuk kibud v'yonig in the Novi Yeshaya only says the karasa of the Shabbos on the Kodesh Hashem Mechul. But the original pasuk only says by Shabbos. Does kibud v'yonig carry over to Yom Tov Hanag? So that's famous machlekas, the Rambam and the Gemara. The Gemara says it does not carry over, and the Rambam writes against the Gemara. The Beis Halevi points that. The Achrayim point that. The Rambam is against the Gemara. The Rambam says Yomim Tovim have all the same din as Shabbos. Here by Tchumen he says not so, but by the Kibud V'Yoinig he says Kibud V'Yoinig carries on. So they all say it's against the Gemara. In the end of Beitzah, the Gemara says that Shabbos Koyvas, if you eat Achilos Haroi on Shabbos, you chayv to be Mafish Shumas and Maisers. Because anything you eat on Shabbos is called Achilas Keva. No such thing as Achilas Aroi. Shabbos Kevas, and the Gemara says, the reason why Shabbos Kevas, because the Karas of the Shabbos is only because of Einik Shabbos. And the Gemara is, Kemat Beferish, that it doesn't apply to Yom Tov. The Gemara is making a contrast between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then the Rambam, until the end of Hilchos Shabbos, says, oh, Kibud V'Yoinig carries over to Yom Tov. So there is a problem. So the question, how much of the side halachas of Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov and whatnot. Let's say Shvisa's Behemtos. Shvisa's Behemtos is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Shvisa's Behemtos says now Seres Hadibris in connection with Shabbos. What do you mean Behemtecha? So even if, let's say, my next door neighbor is going to take my behemoth and cause my behemoth to do a malacha, I'm not doing anything. I didn't even authorize him to use my behemoth. But he knows we're good neighbors, we get along, so I use his things without permission, he uses my things without permission. We're friendly. So let's say the nochri is going to use my behemoth to do a malacha. So the Gemara says, I have to stop him because it's my violation. Other mitzvah al shvisas behemta. That's the pasuk in Aseres Hadibros. You're not permitted to allow your behemoth to do malach, even not with tzarchecha at all, and you're not the one who's doing it. The next door neighbor is doing it. You didn't ask him. You didn't encourage him. You didn't authorize him. He just does on his own. You have to stop him. And if there's no way you can stop him, so the Gemara says, you have to be mafkir the behemoth, the Shabbos. You have to be mafkir. The Gemara in the Dorm says, it's Gemafka the Behemoth, so it's not Behemtecha, so you're not in violation of Shvisa's Behemtecha. That's what the Gemara says in the Durm, that there's such a thing as Hefker Lizman. You can make your animal Hefker only for a day. Don't say it out loud, or the Nochri will be Zeichem and a Hefker. Say it privately. So you say you're Mafka your Behemoth for the day. So it's not your responsibility anymore, so you won't be in violation of Shvisa's Behemtecha. So that's so in Shulchan Aruch, there are more rights of Shvisa's Behemtecha does not carry over from Shabbos to Yom. Shvisa's Behemta has a shaykhus with malachas. Behemta is doing a malacha and it still doesn't carry over. And Tchumen does carry over. And Kiddush does carry over. It's a problem. How do you know which? How do you know what carries over from Shabbos to Yom? What doesn't carry over? There's what to work on. There's a lot to work on. It's a big mistake. We're going to be working on a lot of things. Okay. So again, so the Taisus and Sochem Daf Hem and Beis has two pshatim in the Gemara there. The Gemara makes a statement that this Mishnah, Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph, is the Loike Reb Yosi. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva there holds the Loike Reb Yosi. He said, well, where do you see, and Rabbi Akiva made a statement over there, Matzina Lahavara Shehi Av Malacha. Rabbi Akiva just makes an innocent statement there on Daf Hey Amed Aleph himself. Matzina Lahavara Shehi Av Malacha. Where do you see in that statement that he holds Havara Lav Lelav Yotzos? He doesn't hold Havara Lelav, maybe he holds Havara Lelav Yotzos. So Tesis there has two pshat. So one pshat is, if you would say Havara Lelav Yotzos, Havara wouldn't be Noig on Yontif at all. Because the only things they carry over from Shabbos to Yontif are the Malochas. And if Havara Lelav Yotzos, what it means is that it's Bechlam not a Malocha. There are only 38 Malochas. Havara is not a Malocha at all. It's like Tchumen, like something else. It's a different Isser. The other Isserim don't carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Only the Malachas carry over. And the other name basis is that that's not correct at all. Even if you hold Havar Lelav Yotzes, but Sof Kosov, bottom line, it is a Malacha. Of course it's a Malacha. There are 39 Malachas. Not that according to the Tanner Rabbi Yosi, who holds Havar Lelav Yotzes, there are only 38 Malachas. And just like Rabbi Kiv holds another Isa, Tchumen, which is not in the category of Malacha, so too there's an Isa of Havara. No, Havara is a Malacha, but there is a Chosuv that it doesn't have the punishment of Nisa and Korisan. But it's still a Malacha. So those are the two Deis and Taisis. The Pashtus is the both Deis and Taisis of the Pashtus seem to hold that you only carry over from Shabbos to Yontif Malachas. Other prohibitions are not carried over, but they argue whether Havara Lelav Yotzes means that Havara is not at all a Malacha. Well, no, Havara is a Malacha, but it's a Miut, Akzeres HaKosev is Memayit, that there's no Einish of Misan, there's no Einish of Koris. Yeah, on this din that there is a chiluk melachas l'Shabbos, that if someone is mechalal Shabbos on one day, he knows that today Shabbos, but he just was not aware of all of the lamet ha'asalas melachas. He does korish and zareya and koitzer and dosh and ma'amer. He violates all 39 of his melachas behel mechod all b'shegeg. So Rabbi Yechanan says that he's chayv 39 chatos. That's how the Gemara understands the Mishnah. He's chayv 39 chatos. So Rabbi Menachem Zembe has a thin sefer on Hilchos Shabbos that's a very good sefer, Tetzuas Chaim, that everybody uses. Everybody uses all of Islam. So Rav Soloveitchik used to quote a lot from the Tzotzos time. Whatever he remembered, he used to quote. It's a beautiful sefer. So he on this topic, he points out that there is a machlokes harishonim how to understand this din. That there's chiluk malachas l'shabbos. So some rishonim say that it's like chela v'dam. They use such a mashal like chela v'dam. Let's say a person b'shegeg eats chela. A person eats dam b'shegeg. Either he didn't realize that chela v'dam arasa, or he didn't realize that this is chela v'dam. Strictly speaking, if a person didn't, let's say a person goes to a restaurant, a kosher restaurant, and he orders a kosher meal, and then after he finishes, the waiter says, "Oh, we made a mistake. We gave you chela v'dam." So that should really be misasek. That shouldn't really be called shogeg. Shogeg is, I know all the facts of what I did, but I wasn't aware that it was asa. I didn't know that I didn't know today was Shabbos. I didn't know that carrying is asa. But if a guy didn't know that he was carrying, let's say he had something in his pocket, he didn't even realize that there was anything in his pocket that he was carrying. So that's called misasek. So misasek is not chayv chatos. Misasek is not chayv chatos. So the pashtus is that if a person eats chela v'dam, he's pashut not aware that this is chela. He thought it was a kosher meal. He thought that this was some cherry soda, and this is kosher meat. Then it turns out that the meat was really chela, and the cherry soda that he thought was really dam. So if a person eats chela v'dam by mistake, not realizing the facts, that should have really been considered a misasek. And we really should have said that misasek should be potter from achatos. But the Gemara says increases in the sugya misasek. When it comes to chaylev or arayis, nisasik is chayev. Let's say it's dark at night and the person goes to bed and he thought that he's boal ishto, and then it turns out that it's an eshes ish. It turns out that it's boal achoso. And he wasn't aware of the facts. He pashut thought that it was his own wife. So in such a case, he really should not have been chayev chatas, or should have said that it's nisasik. So that's what the Gemara says. Shmuel makes such a statement, increases. On the Achav, he says, Misasik b'chalovim u'ba'arayis, by macholos asuris and by bias asuris, Misasik is chayiv shikain nehenet. That's what it says in the Gemara. Shikain nehenet. It's a special reason why you have. So let's say a person eats a lot of chaylev. Yechayiv koreis for eating a kazayis of chaylev. So let's say the person knows that he ate many kizesim of chelav b'shegeg. So you don't say he's chayv many chatos. If he ate all the chelav behelam echad, so he's only chayv one chatos. Or let's say he had a lot of dam. So if he eats a kazayis, the Rambam writes, if he eat a kazayis of dam, then you chayv koris, or you chayv chatos, or you chayv malchus, the mezid, whatever it happens to be. So what if he had many kizesim of dam? So if he had all the kizesim of dam behelam echad, then he's only chayv one chatos, he's not chayv many chatos. If he eats chela vidam, the helam echad, these are shemus machlokin. The Gemara calls it increasing. The Gemara said this is shemus machlokin, this is chela and this is dam. So he's chayv two different chatos because they're two different averas. So this is the shaila that Rav Menachem Zemba points out, seems to be an explicit machlokes harishonim. So half of the rishonim say that one who violates all the 39 malachas, the helam echad, is chayv. Al kol achas liachas, yesh chiluk malachas l'shabbos, that's what that means. Why is the chayv al kol achas liachas? We consider each of the obvious malachas as like shemus mechlokin. It's like a person who had chela v'dam. This is one nisa and that's a different nisa. Even though it's all based on one pasuk in Chumash, l'sasa kol malacha, but the mamish considered shemus mechlokin. That pasuk is considered as if it would have said, don't do harishin, don't do zriyan, don't do ksirin, don't do bishul, and don't do haitzah, and don't do tzira. One pasuk is considered as if it really says 39 different prohibitions. Mamashem is mechlok, and that's how some Rishonim present it. And other Rishonim do not present it like that. Other Rishonim seem to say that it's not true. That really, the 39 oifanim to violate chil Shabbos is not a separate Easter. It's not like chel v'dam, the Gemara calls Hashem is mechlokin. Here it's really one Isser. There are 39 ways to be Mechal Shabbos, to cause Shabbos to be Mechalelas. But the reason why, so why Yechayv many Chatos is he violated all the 39 other Melachos to Hela Mechad. So Rav Menachem Zemba gives this marshal, and Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of saying this over. Every couple of years he would say over this Machloekes HaRishonim, that there is a Mishnah increases The Mishnah quotes one Tana. Rabbi Yeshua says that, the case is questionable and the psak is questionable. So you look in the Mishnah, you'll see whether it's correct or not. Okay, whether we pass them like this and whether this is what the Tana says. But let's say just for muscle purposes. So there's one Tana. Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah that Tamchuyin Mechalkin. It's like this. Let's say a person eats Chelev B'Shoyge, he's Chayv Chatos. What if he eats many kizeis matchelev b'shoygig behelam echod? He's only chayv one chatos. If he ate in one restaurant and by mistake they gave him chelev, then he ate in a different restaurant by mistake they gave him chelev, then he ate in a third restaurant, all under supervision, all under hashgachas, good hashgachas, and each one was b'shoygig. So that's really different halomas. He's selling over here, selling over here, selling over there. So he's chayv three chatos. It's not behelam echod. But let's say he's eating a big portion, a big steak, and it has that they never removed the chelev. So he's eating five kizeisim of chelev in one session, in one sitting. So he only chayv one chatos. He repeated the same aver many times, elam echad. So Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah, what happens if the five kizeisim of chelev that he ate were really cooked in five different pots? A tamkoy is a pot that you cook food in. So let's say one is broiled, and one is cooked, and one is roasted. And one is with spices and one is without spices. Each one has a different flavor. They were cooked differently. But bottom line, what's the difference? What it tastes like? Bottom line, I should say, he ate five kizeisim of chelev be'elam echad. It's only chayv one chatos. So if Yeshua has a chiddush, he says, tamchuyin mechalkin. Since each one has a different flavor, they were cooked in a different pot and with a different form of cooking, cooking and broiling and boiling and baking and so on. So he is of the opinion that that's also mechalek, even though Mamashi repeated the same avera five times, behelam echad, but since each one has a different flavor to it, so that's also mechalek. So that's what the Rabbi Menachem Zemba points out, that the other half of the Rishonim say that the 39 avos malachas don't really constitute 39 isurim, it's really one isur. It's really only one isur. But there are 39 different forms of violating the issur. So the pasuk tells me you need a pasuk for this, and all the Tanaim agree you need a pasuk. They just disagree which is the pasuk that teaches it to you. But they all agree that we have a pasuk that tells me that that yesh chiluk malachas l'shabbos. And what is the pasuk telling me? That since the malachas were done, and each one of the malachas has its own tzuras ha-malacha, chorish is one form, and koitzer is a different form. True, it's really shame echod, these Rishonim hold. It's not like chelev adam, that the mamash shame is mechlokes. No, it's really 39 ways to violate chilul Shabbos, and the prohibition really is chilul Shabbos. But nonetheless, since each one of the malachas has its own rules and regulations, a whole different description, so perhaps that's the reason why there's a chiluk malachas. Because there's a mechalik, the tzuras ha-malacha is mechalik. So that's a fundamental machlokes of Rishonim. Whether the being chayv the chilut malachas l'shabbos, what is it all about? Does it mean that there's 39 isurim like chelev adam, shemus machlokin, or does it not really mean like that at all? What it really means is that there's 39 ways to violate chilul Shabbos. The Gemara has a chiddush on ayin gimel amud bay. Some of you may have already learned it. The Gemara says, sometimes it's possible for a person to do one pe'ula and is chayiv shtayim. It's at the 12 lines from the top. Amar Rav Kahana, Zaymer v'tzorach le'etzim, by the tiny letter Dalet. The Ayin Mishnah has a letter Dalet. On the top of Ayin Gimel and Beis, about 10-12 lines from the top. Amar Rav Kahana, Zaymer v'tzorach le'etzim, chayiv shtayim. Achas mishum kotze v'achas mishum noteya. Same thing. You have cases where a person does one pu'ula and he's b'shoigeg and he's chayv two chatos. Why is chayv two chatos? Because we label the activity both as kotzer and noteya. See, there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. This chiddush that the Gemara says that you label an activity as two malachas and you chayiv shtayim means you can't give him twice misa, but chayiv shtayim means if he does it b'shoygeg, he has to bring two chatos. This is a chiddush in Chiluk Chatos. So, is this only because the pa'ula, he only did one pa'ula? Fine. The one pa'ula that he did accomplished two results. So I say that that result labels the pa'ula as an act of ksira. And the other result labels the pa'ula as an act of noteya, or zareya. He prunes the tree, means he breaks off branches in such a way, you have to ask the homeowners who have trees, or farmers, ask the farmer. But you don't have to go so far to ask a farmer. Ask some of your neighbors in Muncie. Ask them, they know that sometimes you have to break off branches from the tree, that what's left on the tree should grow better. So let's say if they're breaking off branches, they plan to use the wood that they broke off, let's say, as fuel in their furnace in the wintertime. That's how they keep warm. So that's kotzer on the wood that they broke off. But also, it's noteya on the tree. You're causing the tree to grow a little better by pruning it, by breaking off certain branches. The tree will be growing better. So the Gemara quotes all the Amoraim, Rav Kahana, Rav Yosef, and Abai. They all say that there are cases, a few cases like that. But Yechayv Shtayim. Are you only, so many Rishonim say, many would seem to hold, you only Chayv Shtayim if there are two results. If he has a result, the branches that he broke off, he's going to use as fuel in the furnace. So that's an act of Ksira. And then the tree is going to grow better. So that's a Malach in the tree. So there's one malach on the branches that are broken off, one malach on the tree. What if you have the following case? A person does an activity which can be labeled as a tolda of two different malachas. It fits in very well to be described as a tolda of malach A, and at the same time can be described as a tolda of malach B. So would you say in such a case also that is chayv shtayim? Would you say that that's impossible? How can you say chayv shtayim? He only accomplished one thing. How can it be Chayv Shtayim? The Gemara says Chayv Shtayim when he has two different accomplishments. One accomplishment on the tree, one accomplishment on the branches that were broken off. So I say, even though there's only one pa'ula breaking off the branch, but he broke it off in such a way that he knows that the tree, this will enhance the growth of the tree. So I say, that's two different malachas. There's one malacha on the eitzim that he broke off, and one malacha on the tree that's still attached to the ground. But does it make sense, is it shaykh to say he does one pa'ula which only has one result, but that activity with that result ought to be labeled as a malacha for two good reasons? So you say you have two reasons to label it as a malacha, but it's only one malacha. It's either the told of A or told of B. But you slap on both chiyuv and you say no, it's both told of A and told of B at the same time. Chayv Shtayim there also. So that's a machlokes harishonim. Tesis later on Ayin Hem and Beis. Tesis. Tosha seems to hold that even if there's only one accomplishment, you can still be Chayv Shtayim. How is that possible to be Chayv Shtayim? If there's only one accomplishment, so obviously Tosha thinks that there's 39 malachas, are 39 different Yisurim. If the 39 are Fanim to be Mechal Shabbos, it just means that there are two reasons why this is a malacha. But you only accomplished one thing, you only did one. How can you be Chayv Shtayim if you only did one thing? And other Rishonim disagree exactly on that point. They say no. They say that these are only 39 Eifanim to be Mechal Shabbos. They're not 39 different prohibitions, not 39 different Issurim. So it's impossible to be Chayv Shtayim if you only have one accomplishment. That's one of the Nafkaminas. Rabbi Nachum Zemer has quite a few Nafkaminas. This is one of the Nafkaminas in his Shana. The other one of his nafkaminas is, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say over this piece, the Tesis Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the second Tesis, Mishum Zoreya. The Tesis has two opinions. The Tesis raises a question. When you see somebody doing an Avera, and you warn him, don't do the Avera, or we're going to give you Malkus, or don't do the Avera, we're going to give you a death penalty, we're going to give you Misa, so you have to give a Hasra, and you have to explain what's wrong. You can't just say, hey, you're doing an Avera, it's against the Jewish religion. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Why should he stop? You have to explain to him what's. He's breathing, he's wearing clothing. What did he do that's against the Jewish religion? You have to say what? So he's wearing shatnas. So say, you're not allowed to, you have to take off the jacket has shatnas in it. He says, he doesn't know what the word shatnas is. You have to explain to him what shatnas is. Rashi writes in Shavuos on Daf Chof that when you give a hasra, you always have to quote chapter and verse. You have to quote the Pasuk in Chumash. The Minchas Chinuch always. Every 70 pages, Minchas Chinuch throws in this Rashi. And by the way, Rashi says you got to quote the Pasuk. So the chapter and verse Rashi, that's not such a popular opinion. So Rashi in one place writes like that. The pashto says you have to quote the pasuk from Chumash. Maybe in the days of Rashi, the people knew Chumash. Today, it certainly doesn't mean anything. What are you going to say? Chapter and verse. It says in the book of Bereishis, he doesn't know what Bereishis is. He doesn't know what you're quoting to him. It doesn't make it any better. Anyway, so Rashi has such a sheet. But the other Rishonim, you just have to warn him, don't do this Aveira, and you have to say what the Aveira is. So the Shabbos, when a person is being Mechal Shabbos, he's smoking a cigar. So I say, no, you have to put it down. That's not allowed on Shabbos. Why is it not allowed? He doesn't know what you're talking about. Why is it not allowed? So is that sufficient to say that's a malacha? You're not allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos, so you have to explain. He's going to think that smoking cigars is the malacha. He won't understand. So you have to explain to him it's a malacha of havara, that you're not allowed to burn anything on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cause anything to burn. Is it necessary to be masra the tolda b'shem ha'av? Or is that not necessary? Just say, don't do that because it's a malacha. That the act that you're doing constitutes chilul Shabbos. So Tosfos has two opinions about that. That's the famous Tosfos on Ayin Gimel on the base, and they tell you on the site to look in the Tosfos on Tzadik Vav on the base, and in Bava Kamma on the first daf, that base on Aleph. In three different places, Tosfos goes through the whole thing. The Gemara has a discussion later, Kuf Lamed Ches in Perek Tolin. So the Gemara says, Mishamer Mishumai Masrinen Bei. If a person is filtering out his water in order to get the bugs out, or he's filtering out his wine in order to get the dregs out, or whatever he wants to filter out, so the Gemara says that sometimes that's a malach. Mishamer is sometimes a malach and sometimes not a malach. So when it's prohibited, then it's a malach of deraisa. So how do you word the hasra? Mishamer mishumai masrinan ve. How do you word the hasra? So Rabbi says you have to warn him that it's a violation of, it's a tolda borer. Abserah says, you tell him it's a tolda if it's a form of merakid. Merakid is to sift out the flour. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that you have to be master of the tolda, b'shem ha'av. So should you warn him, don't be mishamer, don't filter out your drink because it's a tolda of borer, or don't filter out your drink, it's a tolda of merakid. How do you give the hasra? That's the pashup shot in the Gemara. But then on the other hand, Tosfos says, it doesn't really say that in the Gemara. One can insist that it's not so. You could insist that you just say you're not allowed to filter your water on Shabbos because it's a malacha. I asked him, what malacha? I don't know, it's a malacha. So malacha is good enough. It could be the machlekes in the Gemara is like this. If he's smoking on Shabbos and I tell him, don't do that, it's a malacha, you'll ask him which malacha. He says, hoitzah. So what hoitzah? I'm smoking in the house. So you give the wrong malacha, so that's ridiculous. The guy's smoking in his house, he's smoking a cigar in his house, and you say, you're carrying. What's carrying? Muktzah. He's carrying a cigar, his muktzah maybe. But you can't say he's carrying in the house, he carries all the dishes, he carries the food in the house. There's no prohibition to carrying the house. So if you give a stupid hasra, that kills the whole hasra, that's a double portion. So Tosfos says, maybe that's the machloikis, Rabbe and Rabzeira. The simple reading of the Gemara is that the premise is, in the Gemara, that you have to be master every told the b'shem ha'av, and this is the machloikis, mishamah, mishumai, masrin ebay. When you filter out a liquid to drink, is that a tolda bar? Is that a tolda merak? But Tosfos says v'gamze yesh litchos da'ochi perushoi. If you give the wrong hasra, he'll think that you're kidding. Give the masrei mishum dovish ein adaymalo husav shuhu malik boy. Pata, that's not a good hasra. Could be that you don't really need a hasra the tolda b'shem ha'av. Just say it's a chilul Shabbos. You say you're not allowed to filter on Shabbos the water. So he says why not? He says I don't know why not. That's what it says in the newspaper. I read it in the Jewish press. You're not allowed to filter water on Shabbos. It's a malacha of some sort. I don't know what malacha it is. So would that be a good asra? So Tosfos is not sure. So Rabbi Menachem Zembe suggests that seems to be the issue involved. Are the 39 different malachas and the chiluk malachas l'Shabbos is to be compared to chela v'dam? So Imam is considered like 39 different prohibitions. So you have to give a hasra. The guy's eating non-kosher food. So he says, oh, don't eat that. It's not kosher. What's not kosher about it? I don't know. They told me in this restaurant everything is not, guys eating spaghetti. They told me, I'm not allowed to eat it, it's not kosher. What's not kosher about spaghetti? You got to tell them because the spaghetti has chazeshmaltz on it, because the ketchup has chazeshmaltz in it. You have to say what? You can't say not kosher? You never heard that spaghetti is not kosher. You have to explain to them what you're warning him about. So over here, that seems to be the issue here. If you hold that the 39 malachas, If you hold the 39 malachas, are really 39 different prohibitions, Shemus Machlok and Lachela Vedam, then you probably have to be Masva the Tolda B'Shem Ha'at, because that's really the Shem Ho'isa. You can't just say Chilul Shabbos in general. But if you say not so, you just say that the Chilul Malachas L'Shabbos is similar to Tamchuyin Mechalkin. It's a din that is Mechalik. I have a Pasuk, whatever the Pasuk is on Dafayin or Manalim, I have a Pasuk that teaches me that Yesh Chilul Malachas L'Shabbos. And the Pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that the 39 prohibition. No, it's a Mechalik because it's a different Surah HaMalachim. But basically, it's 39 ways to violate Chilul Shabbos. And then the Pashtus says that it should be sufficient. If you just say, you're not allowed to do that, it's a Chilul Shabbos. You ask him why. He says, I don't know why. That's what it says in the newspaper. It's a violation of Chilul Shabbos. You have to know when you give a Hasra, the Yadim don't have to be such great Talmid HaChacham. They have to know the whole ins and outs. They just say, it's a violation of Chilul Shabbos. This is the famous essay Rabbi Menachem Zember has. Taisus in Sanhedrin has a kasha. You know that one who does malacha b'shabbos b'meizid is chayiv nisa. One who does malacha b'meizid b'yontif, a lot of times malacha is mutar on yontif. You do malacha sechonem, you mutar on yontif. But if a person does malacha on yontif that's not allowed, so then the worst punishment he gets is malchus. The Mishnah lists off. Elohein aloikin says as us malacha b'yontif is loikin. The Gemara says in a few places, do malacha on yontif, you're loikin. The Tesis is bothered with the kasha. Why isn't that a lav shebichlolus? If you have a pasuk, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the pasuk losoch lol adam is a lav shebichlolus. It's a pasuk that includes many different prohibitions, and therefore you don't get malchus on any of the violations. Whatever you do, you don't get malchus on any of them. So Tesis says, here you have a pasuk on Yom Tov on Shabbos. There's no problem. On Shabbos, there's no Malkus. See, on Yontif, you get Malkus, and Malkus has to be Dumi Delav de Chasima. It says in the Chumash, in Chumash Dvarim Yidashin Smuchim. You have one Pasuk next to another Pasuk. The Gemara says in Yivamis that in the other four Chumashim, it's a question in the Tanoim. But in Chumash Dvarim, all the Tanoim agree that Darshin and Smuchim. So we have many, many hundreds of drushes, famous drushes that are based on Smuchim. The fact that one pasuk appears right next to the other pasuk in Chumash Dvarim only. So one of these famous drashas is that Malkus is only given to one who violates an aver which is Dumi Dalab Dechasim. If the aver that he violated is similar to Losatsum Shobidisha, because these two psukim are written one next to the other. It says in Chumash V'Hayon Bin Hakos HaRasha, if the Rasha deserves Malkus, so the Bezin should tie him up and put him leaning down, and they should give him, they should whip him, they should give him the Malkus. And then the next pasuk says, L'saksam shabidisha. So the Tanaim all understood that you only get Malkus if you violate an aver which is similar to Lav Dechasim and L'saksam shabidisha. If you violate an aver that's not similar to L'saksam shabidisha, there's no Malkus. But as far as Misa is concerned, there are no rules. It doesn't have to be Dumi to anything. Let's say, Alav Shem Bo Maise, Alav Shem Bo Maise ain't loikim olos. But Alav Shem Bo Maise, you still get Misa. The Kabbalah of Ima gets Nisa, the Gadifes Hashem gets Nisa, even though Dibur is maybe considered a Lav Shem B'Maisa, but for the purpose of Nisa, there is no such halacha that you need a Lav Shem B'Maisa. All these halachas are only for Malkus. Because Malkus, the Chumash says the criterion, the klal is, who gets Malkus, whoever violates an Avera, which is similar to L'Sasim Shabbadisha. So one of the klalim of Malkus is that it should be similar to L'Sasim Shabbadisha. That the pasuk says one thing and it means that one thing, and farting, that's it. But if you have a pasuk like Losech Lal Adam, and it means 10 different things, and everything is equally important, they're all deraisa, then the Gemara says you're not loika on any of them because that's called a lav shebichlolus. A lav shebichlolus is not similar to Losech from Shabbadisha, and ain't loika malok. So the on Shabbos, why does Mechal Shabbos b'meizid get misa? There's no question. Misa is Misa. There's no requirement that it shouldn't be a lav shebichlolus. It doesn't have to be Dumi Dalav Dechasima. But a Malkus, that's a kasha. The Mishnah, you see the Gemara speak of that people doing Malach on Yontif, getting Malkus. So how can they get Malkus? Isn't Kol Malachus Abay Dalai Sato? Why shouldn't Isa Malacha be considered a lav shebichlolus? There's one pasuk and it contains 39 prohibitions. So shouldn't that be considered a lav shebichlolus? So this is a kasha that Tosfos says from Sanhedrin on the Gemara of Lav Shebichlolos on Dav Samach Gimel. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs asks Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out. Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs asks the same kasha, and he says the teretz is that that's not called Lav Shebichlolos because it's all Shem Echad. There are 39 ways to violate Malacha on Yontif. They're not 39 different Isur. There's one Isur, not to do a Malacha, not to do any Malacha on Yontif. There are 39 ways to violate it. It gives a Mashal Ma'adela Deima. Let's say it says, you're not allowed to eat Chelev. So a person eats Chelev Behema is also. Chelev Chai is Mutta. Chelev Oath is Mutta. Only Chelev Behema. Let's say Chelev Shor Kesev Be'ed is also. There's all three are Behema. So let's say a person has chelev. He eats chelev, he gets a mishnah, says a makis. One who eats chelev gets malkis. One should say it's a lav shebichlolos because the one pasuk includes chelev shor keser the age, includes three different prohibitions. But the answer is that's all shem echad. What would be, let's say, if the person ate a third of the kezayis of chelev shor, a third of kezayis of chelev eis, and a third of kezayis of chelev gidi or keser. They would all be mitzvahim yachad. They're not shameless mechlokim that you say any sort of mitzvahim zem zeh. Let's say a guy has a half a kezayis of nevela and a half a kezayis of dam. So they're not mitzvahim. We pass them. Machlokes satanaim. And we pass in any, we assume any mitzvah in them. In order to get malchus, you have to eat a full kezayis of chelev, or eat a full kezayis of nevela, or eat a full kezayis of dam. You can't have a third of kezayis of chelev, a third of kezayis of nevela, and a third of kezayis of dam. It has to be a full kezayis of shem echad of one isa. But if you have, let's say, a third of the kezayis of chelev kesev, a third of kezayis of chelev eiz, and a third of kezayis of chelev shor, it's all shem echad. It's all shem echad. It's all the same thing. So the Ramban says, and it's the same parrot, how do you get malchus at all? And even chelev, why don't you call it a lav shebichlolos? You have one pasuk and includes three prohibitions, chelev shor keser v'eis. He says, no, it's all shem echad. It's not three prohibitions, it's the exact same isa. Different ways to violate the same isa. So the Ramban says, it's the exact same parrot by malachas on yontif. How can you possibly get malchus? Why don't we consider Malachas Yantiv as a lav shebichlolos? You have one pasuk that includes 39 prohibitions. So he says, not true. He says that one pasuk includes one prohibition, not to do malacha b'yantiv. There are 39 asanim to violate it. So the Ramban seems clearly not to agree with those who Rishonim have said that the chilut malachas is because it's like chilut v'dam. Chilut v'dam Hashem is mochlokin. Some Rishonim write. Rabbi Nachum Zemer quotes the Tosfos Reed on Shabbos, writes that doing chiluk malachas on Shabbos, Shabbos machlokin la chelev v'dam. He says explicitly, Shabbos machlokin la chelev v'dam. So the Ramban seems pretty clearly not to agree with that. He says it's not Shabbos machlokin. He says it's all shem echad, like chelev shor keser the eis. It's all shem echad, and then it's tarfim yachad, and that's called the einisur mitzarfim zem zeh. And there's no issue of lav shebichlolos ain loikim olam. And Tais is there in asking the kasha, gives a different answer. So he says, yes, the kasha, one who does malacha on yontav, let it be a lav shebichlolos ain loikim olav. He never asks on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's never any malchus. On Shabbos, talking about Misa. In Misa, there's no issue of lav shebichlolos. There's not to be done with the lav dechasimah. Like we said, a person is mekal olav v'ima. A person is megadef es Hashem. Of course, there's Misa. It's a pasuk in Chumash. But by malchus, it never says explicitly who gets malchus. It just says whoever is a rasha, and it's written right next to the Satsum Shabbatisha, so we assume whoever does an aver, which is similar to the lav dechasima, similar to the sachsum shabedish. So that's why Tosfos only asks the kasha, how is oisim alocha biyontav? How is he like it? Let it be a lav shebichlolos. So Tosfos answers by giving a new definition of lav shebichlolos. Tosfos seems to assume that lav shebichlolos means if you have a pasuk that has five isurim included in it. One of them is the ikep shuta shal mikra, and the other four are additional levels of interpretation in the pasuk that were given by the Torah Shabbat Peh. So true, we hold that all the drushes are deraisa, they're not asmachtes, all the drushes are deraisa, but since the pshuta shal mikra goes on one thing, so since the ikka lav goes on the pshuta shal mikra, you only get malchus on that, and on the lav shebichlolos, whatever is also included. How do Tais understand lav shebichlolos? This prohibition is also included in the pasuk. In addition to the pshuta shal mikra, which is the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebalpeh says that another four prohibitions are also included. So Tosfos says that's called Lav Shebichlov. What about, let's say, Malocha and Yontif? So you have 39 prohibitions included in the Pasuk. Can you single out one or several of the 39 and say that that's the Ikar Pshat, and the Pasuk is that it's referring to that one Iser? And the other 38 Malochas are also included in the Pasuk. No, they're all on equal footing. Tosfos says no one Malocha is more Chashuv than the other Malocha. So when the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to do Malocha and Yontif, it includes equally all the 39 of its Malochas. You can't say, oh, this Iser is also included in the Pasuk. What do you mean also included? The Pasuk refers to 39 prohibitions. All 39 are included equally in the Pasuk, so they all deserve to get Malkus. If you have a Pasuk that has five levels of interpretation, one is Pshutush on Mikra, you say, Eina Mikra Yotzim De Pshuta, the Pshutush on Mikra, that's the level of Torah Shebichsav. Then you have additional levels of interpretation. So on the additional levels, Masha Gamken Yichlal Baha Pasuk, that's a Lav Shebichlalois, so then Ein Loikim on the additional Lav. But here, on the prohibition of Malocha and Yontif, all the 39 prohibitions apply equally. You can't, this is what Tosfos writes. You can't say that the Pasuk refers to one of the 39 Malochas, the Ikar refers to that, and it also includes. No, they're all on equal footing, so they all get Malchus. It seems to be a double Machloikas between the Ramban and the Tosfos. It's a Machloikas, what's the nature of Chiluk Malochas? Whether Chiluk Malochas means that the 39 Shemus Machlokim, that's how Tosfos seems to hold. That the Chiluk Malochas means that there are 39 Shemus Machlokim. Or does it mean no? That there are there are 39 ways to be Mechal Shabbos. It's really one is 39 ways to be Mechal Shabbos. But since the Suras of the Malochas are so different from each other, radically different from each other, this is Koitzer and this is Zareya, the opposites. Some of them are so totally different. Kosher and Matar are opposites. Bain and Tzoris are opposites. So since the Tzuris and Malacha are so different from each other, that's a Chiddush Din in the Pasuk that Yechayv many Chatois. The Tzuris and Malacha, the Shinu in the Tzuris and Malacha is Mechayv many Chatois. So that's the one Machlekes is, how do you understand Chiluk Malachas? Are there 39 prohibitions, Shemus Machlok, and are 39 Eifadim to violate the one Issa? Then the other Machlekes is, how do you define Lav Shebichlolos? Tosfos defines Lav Shebichlolos differently from the Ramban. Tosfos says, if you have that Tosfos, maybe there are other Tosfos in that disagree, but this Tosfos says like that. If you have a Pasuk that includes many prohibitions, and the Pshutel Shal Mikra says that it goes on A, in addition to the Pshutel Shal Mikra, the Torah Shabbat Peh says it also refers to B, C, D, E. So whatever is also included in the Pasuk, that's a Lav Shebichlolos, a Gamken Nichlal Ba Pasuk, that you're not Loikan. You only Loikan the Torah Shebichsav. And the Ramban doesn't hold like that. Ramban holds Lav Shebichlolos and Loikamal means you're not Loikan any of the prohibitions. You have a Pasuk that includes five Isurim, you're not Loikan any of the five. You don't pick out whichever one is the Iker and you say on the Iker Pshuta Shal Mikra you get Malkus. And on the Lavin that are also included through the Torah Shabbat Peh, there's no Malkus. You don't say like that. It's really a double machlokes. The Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara in Sochim comes to the conclusion that this pasuk that says that there's chiluk malachas only applies on Shabbos, doesn't apply on Yontif. The Gemara says chiluk malachas le Shabbos vein chiluk malachas le Yontif. The means is like this. Let's say a person, I know that the person has lined up a few activities to do. He plans to do first this, and the other, second, third, all in order. He's going to do this, that, the other thing, and the other thing. So I warn him in advance, don't do all of these, because we're going to give you Malkus on Yontif. If you do all of these, we're going to give you Malkus for doing that, for doing that, for doing that. So would we say that since they warned him in advance, so he deserves many times Malkus, or do you say not so? That's a dead muscle. That's a dead muscle. Let's say this Zayma Vitzarch Leitzin. Let's say Zayma Vitzarch Leitzin. He's doing one Pu'ula that should be labeled as a Malacha for two good reasons. So the Gemara says, Chayv Shtayim. At least in these few cases, Rav Kana's case, Rav Yesh's case, Abai's case, and Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. The 10 lines in the Gemara. So what would be on Yontif if the person is about to do Zayma Ritzach Leitzin? And we warn him, don't do that, we're going to give you twice Malkus. It's been amazing. Here the Gemara is talking Meshegig with respect to being Chayv Meni Chatos. What if it will be on Yontif, amazing, he would do Zayma Ritzach Leitzin or the other cases, would we say that he's Chayv Stein, he gets twice Malkus? Or do you say not so? So the Gemara has a whole pilpul. The Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, both in Psochim and in Psochim Daf Mem Ches, and in the end of Beitza. So the Gemara says that this special pasuk, Chiluk Melachos, is only Chiluk Melachos on Shabbos, they ain't Chiluk Melachos li Yontif. The din doesn't apply by Yontif. So that's a question, what does that mean? Let's say if you hold that Chiluk Melachos li Shabbos means that it's 39 different Yisurim, like Chelav Adam. So you say that's only on Shabbos. And on Yontif it's not so. On Yontif I say, I mean this Machlok is a Rishonim that Menachem Zemba pointed out, but the Chiluk Melachos the Shabbos means that I treat it like Shemus Machlok and Chelav Adam, or it's like Tamchuyim Mechalik, and it's just a Mechalik because the different Surahs are Melacha. So this itself splits between Shabbos and Yontif. That Chiluk Melachos the Shabbos on Shabbos, the 39 different Yisurim. And on Yontif it's all one Yisur. Wow. A difference between Shabbos and Yontif. That's one way to read the Gemara. And others say, no, that's not what it means in the Gemara. It means it's a mechalik like Pam Chuyim Mechalkin. It's not really Shemus Mechalkin. It's a chiddush in Hilchas Shabbos that with respect to Chatos, you chayv many Chatos because the Tzuras HaMelocha of all the 39 Melochas are so different. So that only functions as a mechalik when you get to Hilchas Shabbos. Because he's talking about Chiyuv Chatos. But when you get to Hilchas Yontif, but the Meduber is not about Chatos. The discussion is about Malkus. So you wouldn't say Tamchuyim Mechalkin. Let's say guy's eating the Vela. Let's say, according to that Tana Rabbi Shua, the Mishnah increases on Daf Chok. They all Tamchuyim Mechalkin. So let's say someone's about to eat the whole meal of Nevela. Everything they have there is in a non kosher restaurant, everything is Nevela. But this was fried, and this was broiled, and this was cooked, and this is cooked with flavoring, that's without flavoring. Each one tastes different. Each one was cooked in a different pot, a different chef. But Atzana Shav Shabam, it's all Nevela. And he eats five kizesim of Nevela, and we warn him in advance. All the meat in this restaurant is Nevela, and we see five kizesim over here. One is broiled, and one is boiled, and one is baked, and one is cooked, and one is with flavoring, spicy. So if you eat everything on the plate, we're going to give you five times Malkus. Would that be so? The Mishnah, Rabbi Shua's din of Tamchui Mechalkin, applies also to Malkus? Or perhaps it only makes sense when it gets to Chatos. So that's what the Pashtus in the Mishnah is, that Tamchui Mechalkin is only B'Shoige, B'Chatos, when it gets to Chatos. And I say, this is a different ma'aseh. This is broiled, and this is baked, and this is boiled, and this is with flavoring. Since each one has a totally different flavoring, so then you say that itself is mechalik. But when you get to Malkus, if he's eating the nevela b'meizid, and we warn him, so what? By Malkus, it depends on the shem ma'aseh. It's not like b'shoyge yechai v'chatos, so it depends on the ma'aseh aveira. You can't say, did the gabra violate? The gabra was b'shoyge. He didn't realize that he was doing an aveira. They just have to judge the Avera itself. The Avera stands on its own. So since this Avera was eating broiled, this Avera was eating baked, and this was eating cooked, and this is eating cooked with spices, so each one is a different surah. So then the Tana comes up with this Chiddush, that Tamchui Mechalkin. But to say B'mezid, B'neged Tamalkas, Tamchui Mechalkin, there's a room to say that it doesn't apply. So that's what, there's a whole literature on this topic. Rabbi Kibeger, you know, used to, years ago, the practice was the Rabbanim used to give a big pilpulim twice a year. Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shulim. Rabbi Kibeger wrote up a lot of the fathers, Rabbi Kibeger's drushes for Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shulim. Long pilpulim. Used to give halacha. Big pilpulim at Gemara. So one of the pilpulim on Shabbos Shulim was on the following. I think this is printed in the middle of Jewish Vechidush. These are called the Maroches, the long Maroches that no one ever reads. Long goes on and on and on forever. A long tulpul. I don't know. No one knows which Balabatim, what kind of Balabatim did he have that day. They say Rabbi Kivega was once giving a whole tulpul before Pesach. They say it was on Shabbos HaGadol. He was giving a tulpul on Tom Kiker. And all the Balabatim fell asleep and no one knew what he was talking about. There's one Balabas stayed awake till the end. After he finished the whole pilpul, he walked over to the Balabas and he gave him a yashikert that he stayed awake. He says, Rebbe, he enjoyed this pilpul very much. He just has one question. What does the loaf of bread taste like? He thought he was talking about Tom Kiker. What does the loaf of bread taste like after all? And the topic was Tom Kiker. Tom Kiker. The Tom is an Issa Deraisa, as if he using the chazah. Didn't understand one word that he was talking about. But the Rabbanim, that was attractive. That's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim. That it's not really kedai that they should give these big pilpulim, they should say some divrei musar and say over some dinim that are relevant for the Bala. Say over Hilchos Pesach, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Don't give a whole pilpul on Tom Kiker because they won't understand one word anyway. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. So Rabbi Kineger was the old style. So he used to give these long maraches, and the some of the Balabatim didn't understand one word. So he has one pilpul that he has in the middle of the Rish V'chidish. They have a couple of maraches that, again, no one ever reads. So he has there. We assume halacha that chilek malachas le Shabbos ve'in chilek malachas le Yom Kippur. So the pilpul was on Shabbos Shuvah. What's the status of Yom Kippur? Is Yom Kippur dina ki Yom Kippur, and ain chilek malachas le Yom Kippur, or is Yom Kippur dina ki Shabbos? Ve'yesh chilek malachas le Shabbos. So that's Rabbi Kivegis too. So one of the other gedolim has also the Baruch Tam has a discussion of this. Our Baruch Tam and Frankel has a mishaper Baruch Tam. It's a collection of pilpulim on sugyas, on famous topics. So he has also pilpul on this, and he says, what does he think is the correct answer? Whether there's chilek malachas on Yom Kippur or not, he says, it depends. If he violated Yom Kippur b'mezid, or he violated the malachas b'shoigeg. If he did the malachas on Yom Kippur b'mezid, then there's no misa, there's only malchus, so then it's going to be dina kiyantif. And if he violated the malachas the Yom Kippur b'shoigeg, and the medubar is whether he chayv many chatos, so then it's going to be Yom Kippur is going to be dina k'shabbos. He says the chilek in the Gemara that yesh chilek malachas l'shabbos v'ein chilek malachas l'yantiv is not because Shabbos versus Yantiv. He says nechatesu. Why should I say Shabbos versus Yantiv? He says the vart is the nekuda of the vart in the Gemara is a distinction between chatos and malchus. That malachas are machalkos l'chatos. And malachas are not mechalkos le'oinish malchus. For malchus purposes, you got to have Shemus machlokin. Has to be a different avera. So it's not a different avera. There are 39 ways to violate the same avera. But for chatos purposes, one is chiluk malachas for Shabbos means b'shegit. If it's b'mezid, it's chayv misa. So what kind of chiluk malachas is going to get misa? You don't die more than once. They're only going to give misa's bezin once. So on Shabbos, when you talk about chiluk malachas, so Shabbos talking about mechalek lachatos. So that's like tamchuyim mechalkin. Each malacha has a different tzuras on malacha. So amashal amal davadayma, like the Tana. Even if one should not accept the Tana's opinion, the tamchuyim mechalkin by the nevela, the chelav adam, but it could be that still that's the nature of the din of chiluk malachas by Shabbos b'shegik lachatos. So that's the Baruch Tam has that compromise and says. The whole way Rabbi Kiveger formulated it, he doesn't refer to Rabbi Kiveger, he says the whole way Rabbi Kiveger formulated it, whether Yom Kippur, Dina Kishabz, Yom Kippur, Dina Kiyontif, that's not really the issue. It's really Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos and Chiluk Malachas L'Yontif means that the concept of Chiluk Malachas is a Chiddush that's learned out from a Pasuk that only applies when you get to Mechalkin Fachatos. But on Yom Tov there is no chatas because there's no chorus. And the mechalik we're talking about is what's mechalik for malchus. For malchus you have to have shemus machlok. You have to have separate isun. From Yom Tov it's all one shem isun. That's how the Baruch Tam claims. Okay. And others say not so. Look, others say not so. Okay, we're going to go into all of these topics. We'll get into everything. So the Mishnah lists off the Avos Malachas. Avos Malachas are Bayim Chas Erachas. It starts to list off. Each one of the Malachas, most of the Malachas have a Shear. Some of them don't have a Shear. Gemara says, by Chorish Kolshu, Charisha doesn't have a Shear. The others do have a Shear. The other 11 Sidur the Pasdu Abishir. The Shaila is, Halosh, Ha'oife, Ha'goizeh, a lot of these. A lot of these have a shiur. They all have a shiur. Kemat, everything has a shiur. The Mishnah does not mention the shiur. That's what Tosis points out. Why? It's a very strange thing. Ha'oise shnei batinirim. The Mishnah gives you the shiur. Harik shnei chutim. Mishnah gives you all of a sudden a shiur. All the others, the Mishnah doesn't give any shiur. Ha'toicher shtei tfiris. Ha'koisim shtei oisiyas. That's what Tosfos says. Tzorach lefarish. They're asking tzorachi and hasten. Lama pirish kana biorig bepotzei b'toicher because of shiur tzei b'shar. How come in some the Mishnah lists off all 39 malachas? How come in some malachas the Mishnah gives you the shiur? And the others, the Mishnah relies on the later Mishnahs. All the Mishnahs later in the Masechta will spell out all the shiur. So is there any logic to this Mishnah? Is there any reason, perhaps, why the Mishnah should single out a shiur on some of them and not on others? See, the Minhas Chinuch quotes a famous, he made it famous. Moshe Bennett wrote a sefer on Mogen Ovis, on the Ovis Malachas, Tosfos Masechta Shabbos, Dafan Gimel, a thin sefer, usually a pilpul sefer. I think Ramotza Benet was the chief rabbi in Hungary when Nassam Sofer was a young man. And Nassam Sofer thanked him. Nassam Sofer, I think, printed one of the Rishonim on Shavuos, maybe the Rimagash, I forgot something. So he writes in the Shalos HaTshuvos that there is a cherem from the Kanmoinim not to publish any Sofer without a Haskama. And he felt that the cherem doesn't only apply if I write an original sefer, it even applies if I want to print the ksav yad. Because who knows that it's an authentic ksav yad. Maybe it's talked authentic from hundreds of years ago, but maybe the one who wrote it was an Amharic. Maybe it's a forgery. Maybe the whole thing is a forgery to begin with. So he writes, that some sefer writes in the sefer, that the cherem hakadmoinim, not to publish any sefer without a haskama, even applies if you're publishing, perhaps even more so, applies when you're publishing manuscripts from Rishonim, even though it's not my sefer, because you got to know that the one who's doing the publishing is honest, he's not a faker who is making up a ksav yad. You have to know that the one who wrote the ksav yad, the Rishon who wrote it, or the Achman who wrote it, was a bar samcha. So he had this ksav yad, I think, from the Rimagash on Shavuos, and no one wanted to give. They all felt, how can you give a haskam on the Rimagash? That's ridiculous. So Ramotza Benet was nice enough to give him haskam. He was the chief rabbi, so he writes in his Shalos HaTshuvos how he has a letter to Ramotza Benet where he thanks him for giving him the haskam when he printed this Rimagash on Shavuos. So Ramotza Benet was a prominent rabbi in Hungary. He was the chief rabbi of that whole area when the Chasam Sofer was a young man. He has this tilpul sefer on the Malachas that the Minchas Chinuch quotes from a lot. He has a suggestion. He has a suggestion that runs a little as follows. There is a Me'iri in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel, I think, where the Me'iri raises a question which everybody assumes is a silly question. The Me'iri says it's silly also. He says the din is that you're not allowed to carry Mavar Dalan Amos B'Shus Harab. You're not allowed to carry Dalan Amos in the B'Shus Harab. So what if I'm going to carry two Amos? I'm going to pick up a little baby and put him down over here, two Amos away. I'm not going to carry Dalan Amos. So the Gemara says that's Heta Gomer. That's Mutam and Atar, Mutam and Rabbanim, there's no prohibition. If I'm going to carry the kid, Pachas Min Dalan Amos. I'll carry the kid or whatever, three Amos, and I'll put it down. Then I carry three Amos and put it down. Then I carry another three Amos and put it down. So at the end of the day, I carried more than Dalan Amos, but with a twist. Each time I made a Hanoch in between, so that was mutam, that was mutam, that was mutam. So that's awesome of the Rabbanim. To carry pachas, mendal adamas, and Rishus Rabbim, that's an isham of the Rabbanim, because he may forget to do the Hanoch in the middle, in which case it'll turn out that you carried the Dal adamas more than Dal adamas, you violated the Nisa Dirah. And that's a famous debate in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kivegi quotes, and others have a whole discussion. What about to carry pachas, mendal adamas, and the Carmelis? A lot of times the issue of carrying is not, you're not really dealing with the Rishus Rabbim, there is just dealing with the Carmelis. So maybe I should say that to carry Pachis Min Dalai Ramas and the Carmelis, maybe that's called Gzeira L'Gzeira. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Okay, so we're going to have to discuss that in the course of the year. There's a Gemara in the first Perek, Machlokes Abaye V'Rovah, on Daf Yud Aleph. So that's what they all discuss. On the Daf Yud Aleph, on the top of Amud Beis, is Machlokes Abaye V'Rovah, in a certain case, is that Gzeira L'Gzeira. So this probably should be the same as that case. So that's a topic of discussion. So the Miri raises this question. There is a klal, chatzishir asam and atzera. Here, Rashi quotes on an ayin dalet amud aleph. This is a famous Rashi. Rashi came out in the middle of the daf, in the middle of ayin dalet amud aleph. Dibra maskul dechimut aleph as pachas mikishir. The Gemara says, if you cook on Shabbos, you chayiv miso, you chayiv chatos, whatever, koreis. So that's only if you cook kishir, you cook a kigregris. If you cook less than a shir, then there's no chiyuv. So the Gemara says, "Obe v'chi muta lefas pachas mikishir." You got to think, what is muta lechatzila? Of course, it's awesome. It's awesome to do a malacha less than a shir. So Rashi sounds like he says it's awesome and atar chatzishir, awesome and atar. That's what Rashi quotes from Yuma daf ayin dalet. That's what we pass. Gemara Yuma has a machlekes ad yechnam eishlokish. If a person eats chazer. If he, let's say you buy some non-kosher bread, buy non-kosher cookies. What could be so non-kosher about the cookies? A couple of ingredients could be traced. The whole cookie is not a kezayis. Even if you eat a whole box of cookies, how much chazer shmaltz did you have already? You have less than a kezayis of chazer shmaltz. Rish Lakish says that it's only an isa de rabbanon. The chazer shir is muta min ha-Torah. It's only osam de rabbanon. Because the chazer, it's mutter to look at it, it's mutter to tickle it, it's mutter to have it tickle you. You can do whatever you want with the chazer. It's mutter bano. It's only also b'achila. Ain't achila p'chus in the kezayis. If you eat less than a kezayis, there's no way in the world that you can be in violation of a biblical law. That's Rish Lakish holds. And we don't pass like Rish Lakish. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. The chazer shir is also min ha-Torah. So some, the Chacham Tzvi has a famous tshuva where he writes, the chazer shir also min ha-Torah, kain Rabbi Yochanan is only a macholas asuras. Doesn't apply in any area, any other area of halacha, because the Gemara there in Yuma learned that after Mepasa kol chaylev, kol dehu chaylev, so that's by macholas asur. So we have the Mishnah Lamelach. Everybody knows the Mishnah Lamelach at the bottom of the Rambam. So the Mishnah Lamelach, as we use it, was not originally written like that. The one who authored the what's that say, Frank Kumish? No. The Magi and the Mishlam Melech. Forgot his name. Mayam Loes, right. The author of the Mayam Loes was kind enough to take these. The Mishlam Melech had long essays that go on pages and pages, five pages in tiny letters that no one was ever going to read. So the Mayam Loes, the author of Mayam Loes, was nice enough to break it down into small paragraphs, and he put this paragraph over here, put that paragraph over there. A lot of times the Mishnah Melech says, I've already explained this before, and by us it comes after. He says, as I will explain later, and it already appeared before, because he rearranged it. The Amloys rearranged the Mishnah Melech. And then once in a while there was nothing to rearrange. So does the Mishnah Melech, and no one ever reads. It just goes on and on and on, five pages, tiny letters, and no one ever reads it. So Chasribis, he has long Mishnah Melech that there's no way to break down. So those are the unfortunate Mishnah Melech. So every so often, you have in parentheses in the Mishnah Melech, you have Aleph Hey, Omer HaMagia, that's his own, Mr. Rabbi Mayam Lois. Rabbi Dr. Mayam Lois is speaking then, it's not the Mishnah Melech. So you have the Hagor in the Mishnah Melech, where he writes on this Rashi, he says that this Rashi seems to contradict that Chacham Tzvi. The simple reading of Rashi implies that you say Chatzishir Osam and Atera on Melech HaShabbos as well. It's not restricted only to Macholos HaSuras. It even applies to Melech HaShabbos. So the Meiri raises the question, if a person carries Mavadal Adamas Beshusa Rabbi Mischayiv Misa, that's the full Lisa Deraisa. So what if he carries less than Dal Adamas? We pass in Hetagomer. Muta Legamri. Pachas Midal Adamas. And the Beshusa Rabbim is an Isa Derabonis. But Pachas Midal Adamas is Muta Rizma Derabonis. Then there is no prohibition. So the Meiri on Dal Gimel asks the Kasha, let it be an Isa Deraisa, Chatzishir Osman Atar. So he answers, the only time you say Chatzi Shir Asman Atera is if it's just a shir, you have to have more of it. You have to have more volume of it. Nevela. Less than a kezayis from nevela is also nevela. It's the exact same thing as more than a kezayis. It's just that if you don't have enough, so it doesn't qualify as achila. But over here, by carrying dalaramis b'shusha rabim, if you carry less than dalaramis, you haven't accomplished anything. It's not even called the Chatzi Shir. This is the Ragachover has this expression. He says there are two types of shear. Sometimes there's a shear mitztaref, and sometimes there's a shear nekuda. This is not the language, it's not the terminology that the Meiri uses, it's not the terminology that Rabbi Soloveitchik used either, but it's a striking expression that makes things easier. He says sometimes you need a shear nekuda. If you don't have the shear, you don't have the thing. The thing is missing. And sometimes it's really a shear mitzareif. The thing is there, you just got to have more of it. You have to have more volume of the thing. So that's what the Ragachava has discussions of different shiurim in halacha, let's say mikveh. Mikveh has that memsah. It is the word that a mikveh that does not have memsah is not called a mikveh. Well, no, it is a mikveh. If it has a revius, the Gemara says the revius is good enough for tvilas kelim minatar. If kelim atomei, for tvilas matan mitzinarius, the Gemara says it's good minatar. So even for tvilas odom, also a revius has the shear to be labeled as a mikveh. But it's just halacha, for tefillah sodom, it's not enough. You've got to have a larger size mikveh. So many shurim you can discuss like that. So that's the answer that the Meiri gives. The Meiri says that Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalet seems to say the chatzi shir askanatar even applies to Malacha Shabbos. Maskin, we understand that. Why? Because he's talking about bishul on Shabbos. Or he's talking about Borer on Shabbos, and he's going to do less than a shear. So Borer on Shabbos, even less than a shear, is Borer. The only thing is he needs more of it. It's a shear mitzaref. He used the terminology of the Ragachava. So then I apply the klal of chatzi shear asmanator. But if you're going to carry that from Dal Rama, so there the shear is intrinsic to the definition of the yisir. If you didn't carry Dal Rama, so you didn't do Havorah. That's not called Mavid Dal Rama. That's why we call it Mavid Dal Rama. The shear of Dal Rama is part of the definition, part of the description of the malach. That's the famous Miri on Daf Gimel. He says that Chatzi Shir Asman HaTorah doesn't apply to the Mavid Dal Rama. It's such a famous, the Tesis Yishonin on the last Perek in Yuma, he asks Akasha. There is a famous Machloikis HaRishonin where the Ola Chamishi Inuim on Yom Kippur Adereiser are only Achilu Shtiyah. Because the Gemara says in the Dorm that if one violates Achilu Shtiyah, there's an Issa Kores, and if one violates the other Inuim, Nilas HaSandal and Rechitz and Sich and Tashramita, there's no Chiyuv Kores. The Gemara learns that from Sukkah. But Rabbi Tam understood that to mean that the other Inuim are running with the Rabbanah. If they're all there, right, they all learned that in the same passage. How can you split and say that on these there's Kores and on those there's no Kores? That means that all the other Inuim are running with the Rabbanah. And the Rambam and many other Rishonim disagree. They hold that it's not true. That all the Hamishu Inuim are Isurim Derais. But then it's a Chapele, the Tosis Rishonim asks, if all the Inuim are an Isur Derais, so how come the Mishnah is so lenient? The Mishnah says, a woman had a baby, so we allow her to wash her face. A Kala just got married. The first 30 days of the first year, I forgot about it, you allow her to wash her face. That doesn't apply this man is there because we're in shul all day long, so the husband never sees his wife anyway on Yom Kippur. There's not a lot of washing things. He says they're so lenient on these prohibitions about washing. If you're dealing with an Issa deraisa, so how can you be so mekel? Wouldn't it appear that it's only an Issa derabbanan? But the Tosfos Yeshanim says, yeah, that's correct. Those who hold that it's an Issa deraisa is only rechitzas kol gufa. But if you only do rechitzas mitzas menaguf, that's only derabbanan. So then the Achrenim ask a kasha. How can that only be mid Rabbanu? Let it be Chatzi Shir Asman HaTorah. So they say that kasha is a joke. That's not Chatzi Shir Asman HaTorah. You take a beer. I say, I'm washing for bread. I say, oh, it's a Chatzi Shir of a beer. It's not a Chatzi Shir of a bath or a shower. A shower and a bath is one thing. Rechitzas Kol HaGuf is one thing. And if you wash Mikzas, it's not called even a Chatzi Shir. By definition, Rechitza means Kol HaGuf. This is a different, you call it, you have to coin a different term, but you have to call it something else. So sometimes it just doesn't apply to say Chatzi Shir Asmanatar. So that's Rav Mordechai Benet has this suggestion that was made famous. The other things that Rav Mordechai Benet has are not so famous because Menchas Chinuch didn't quote. But this one he quotes. And this little thesis on Ein Gimel Amen Aleph, thesis says that Tzorach Lefarish, or Tzorach Iyun, how come sometimes the Mishnah gives the Shir and sometimes the Mishnah doesn't give the Shir? So he makes that suggestion. He says maybe the Mishnah is just listing off the 39 prohibitions. So maybe the only four or five cases that we mention the shear is where the shear is intrinsic to the definition of the Yisr. Then in those cases you can't say Chatzi Shir Asman HaTorah. But in the other malachas, even though they all need a shear, maybe there the shear is just, it's not part of the definition of the malach. Shiurim halacha l'moshe mizina. If you don't have enough of the shiur, you don't get malchus, you don't get misa, you don't get karis. Fine, but it's not really so intrinsic to the issue, to the issur. So that was his suggestion. In a certain sense, he just shifted the question. So now you can ask the same question again. So how come over here the shiur is intrinsic to the definition of the malacha? There, it's not the same question. He's just wording it differently. All right, maybe that's the answer to Taisa's question. That is the question. Okay, we shall stop here. Tomorrow we have an option. Should we do Parshas HaShavua? Should we do a little more Gemara? We didn't even begin. Yeah. Tomorrow, so how many people, for those who plan to be here tomorrow, so how many people who plan to be here are interested in learning Gemara tomorrow? By a show of hands. And everybody else wants Parshas HaShavua. Okay.